than going through and looking for the porn. I mean, adult porn, there's nothing we can do it. I see it day in, day out on a lot of people's machines. But when it comes to child porn, you know, like I say, we don't go looking for it. But when they've got folders marked XXX kitties, and I mean, some of this stuff, if you saw it, you'd be sick. Because the one thing that bothers me is, you know, one, that these sick bastards, is the only polite way to put it, have to have it. But the kids, the rest of their lives, that's screwed up.
Thanks.
In a lot of other countries, you know, it's considered legal. So that's when, you know, you hear legislation, oh, we're going to stop child porn. Yeah, right. It's like one hand clapping. Because a lot of other countries, it's allowed.
That's the age. Let Lynn start?
Yep.
Or do you want to wait a few more minutes?
Wait a few more minutes, or what do you want to do?
My name is Lindy Biazzi, and I work at Frontier, and I want to welcome and thank you all for coming. We're going to continue to have these type of series and classes, so you'll be hearing about them through your internet address as well as on the Soundbite show. So I'd like to introduce Nick Francesco, Yay. Dave Enright,
Yay.
And Steve Ray. And today it's going to be safe surfing, what every parent should know. So enjoy yourself and feel free. There's bathrooms down the hall to go out if you have to. Help yourself to coffee and soda and cookies and enjoy the show.
No.
Thank you.
Oh, there it is over there. All right. Excuse
me, one other thing. We do have a couple reps here. We have Katina Singleton and Katrina Hill. They're here. And I'd like, if you have any questions about your service or looking to add service and want to talk with them during the breaks, they are here and they'll come up at the front. We also have a Frontier representative, Andy Crane, and he can answer some of your technical questions. So feel free to...
And log in if you all have wireless.
Andy's right here. Andy's here. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. This is what we're going to be talking about. Rob could not make it tonight. He unfortunately had a prior commitment.
Yeah, he never did tell us what it was.
Oh, it's a meeting. It's a meeting for his real job.
So he said.
That's what he says. And I'm willing to believe him because he didn't have a glint in his eye when he said it. We're going to talk about what parents should know for safe surfing. Here are the topics we're really going to talk about, what we're protecting against. The stuff that's out there, there's good stuff out there for parents too and for individuals, as well as the bad stuff. So we'll show you what to avoid and how to avoid it and what's good. How to protect your children online, that's very important. And what you can do when things get out of hand. One of the things that we find, we hear a lot, and my heart goes out, is, you know, what am I going to do? My kid knows more about computers than I do, and I can't control it. I can't control the situation. I can't control my child. I can't, you know, what do I do? Well, we'll talk about some of those things.
One thing we should say, though, is as we're going along, though, if you have a question, we're not going to be doing all the talking here. If you folks have a question on a particular thing, you know, raise your hand.
Yeah, feel free to ask a question at any time. We have no train of thought. You will not be interrupted.
We haven't in 16 years. Why start now?
That's exactly right. Here's what we're protecting you against. Certainly we know about sexual predation. There's lots of people out online looking to meet young kids for really bad reasons. Physical molestation, not just sexual, but other kinds of harassment, bullying. One of the things that we're seeing a huge increase of recently is kids bullying other kids, harassing other kids via instant messaging.
No more school playgrounds anymore. It's right on your computer.
Right, it's right on the computer because everybody knows everybody's screen name, right? And everybody's on all night long. And kids get threatened online, say, wait till you come to school tomorrow, I'm going to beat you to death, and blah, 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 blah. You see a lot of that, so we'll talk about a little bit of that. Obviously, viruses and hacking. There's just more and more of it. It's going everywhere. And then, of course, there are the legal and financial problems that we've already had a seminar about. We'll touch on those a little bit. Identity theft and things like that. Yes?
Are the previous programs available anywhere?
No.
The audio files are available on the Soundbite's website.
Oh, okay.
But you have to know what date it was, because it's by date.
Yeah.
So if it's not a Sunday, then,
right.
Then,
if it's a Wednesday night, it's definitely the thing. And we'll talk, in the handout, you've got some of these sites, educational sites and research sites and some fun sites and things like that. Those are all listed, and we'll take a look at some of them now that we're online finally. Is it Andy?
Yes.
Thank you, Andy.
You're
welcome. And the bad stuff, of course, the pornography. Pornography, the real problem here, and Dave touched on this earlier, it's the World Wide Web. And there are many places in the world where pornography is, even child pornography, is absolutely legal. So if you can get to the site, not a problem. You can view it. And the other part of the problem is name squatters. Every website has a name, a URL it's called, or a URI, to give it its real title. And
you ever misspell something when you're looking for it?
That's the real problem. You misspell it.
For Dick's Sporting Goods.
You don't want to do that. We used to have a real problem at RIT pretty regularly because everybody's used to typing .com. And we would invariably, I'd get this frantic phone call from a faculty member. I'm the systems administrator and I teach in the College of Business at RIT. And I'd get this frantic phone call, the internet's broken. Well, I'll get right on that. Define broken. Well, I typed in whitehouse.gov. I typed in White House and I got a porn site. Well, whitehouse.gov is the White House. Whitehouse.com used to be a porn site where they would get actors who looked like figures in the administration. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't just a porn site. Okay, it was a really well-thought-out porn site.
In a White House.
Right.
And the government doing more than...
Right. Doing in public what we think they're doing behind the scenes.
Legislating against.
Right. So that's a real problem, and what do you do about that, and how do you protect against it, and how do you deal with it? And, of course, the online predators, they're everywhere nowadays. I'm sure you've all heard about MySpace.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Recently, and how, you know, you get to put up pictures of yourself and all this other stuff, and there's places where you can go now, chat lines. Chat rooms are not just text anymore. You can do video chat rooms. And so here's some kid sitting in front of the camera being convinced to do things that maybe you wouldn't really want your kids to do, both male and female. So that happens a lot. And of course, thieves, people want to steal things and people want to, you know, get your identity and everything else. So
one thing, though, before we go up, on the pornography, just to let you know, you folks have all heard the one case that's going on right now. Mr. Perinella is trying to help this one priest who's supposedly, magically got porn on his machine.
Which can happen.
Yes, it can.
But here's the one thing. Porn people will never flash websites on the screen for you. You've got to go looking for the child porn. They will not solicit you. In other words, you won't get tons of emails from child porn sites. You will get them from adult porn sites, but not child.
Right.
Because child porn is like this secret little club. And to get into this club, if you want some sick facts, to get into it, you have to submit 500 child porn pictures to be even considered to get into this unique club. Once you submit those, then they will review them, and then they get into this club where they can then, with their other friends in this club, share child porn pictures. That's how sick it is.
They know you've done something illegal because you're uploading these pictures, so they feel safe in sending more to you because you're not going to track them.
But they will not solicit you. So anybody that sits there and tells me, oh, I got this by mistake, wrong. I get to see a machine come into my shop that they didn't physically have to go looking for those pictures. Now, like Nick said, you could type a name in and instantly get to a site. Yes, that can happen. But to actually get them on your computer and download images and everything else, you physically have to do that.
Well, you can get a virus.
Yes.
That will take over your machine and then give control of it to somebody on the internet. About half the time they will then use your machine to send out spam. The other half of the time they'll use your machine to serve pornography. But still, you can track that and trace it and tell whether or not the person actually has porn on their machine or got porn on their machine.
Or it's so, used, like you said, as a server to transmit.
Right, right. So that's these are the kind of things you need to protect against. But these are the things we're going to talk about first in protecting your children. We'll take these one at a time, and we'll start with location, location, location.
My biggest rant.
Keep the computer in a public place. Look, when I was a kid, it was magazines under the bed. Or so they tell me.
And on laundry day, you made sure you put them somewhere else.
Right, like your mother never looked under the bed.
To change the sheets.
Because you never looked under the bed, so, right? And maybe you had one, maybe you had two, but there wasn't like, you know, you didn't have a computer full of them. And you didn't read them in the living room. If the computer is in a public place, then there's a lot less likelihood that kids are going to be looking at pornography. If the monitor is facing into the room, the kid has their back to the room, lot less chance that they're going to be looking at bad stuff because you could walk by at any minute. Now, in my house, my daughter has her own computer because I scrounged the parts from work. It's still better than mine. I don't care. But her monitor faces into the room. So when she's in there and I'm in there, I just have to do this, and I can see what's on her screen. And ever since she was a kid, she's still a kid.
I was going to say,
she's a teenager. 14.
She's 14. I have a 14-year-old daughter.
You think he's got less
help
hair
now?
Help
me.
No, it's going to get worse.
I'm done now. But ever since she was little, she knew that she could always turn to me for help. And there have been times over the years when she typed something wrong or clicked on a link that was an ad, you know, somewhere in a page she was on and ended up somewhere she shouldn't. And I never made a big deal out of it. I'd always laugh. Well, it looks like you got to the wrong place. Yeah, dude, is that bad? It's only bad if you stay there, honey. Let's leave. And therefore, there was no stigma that she had gotten there accidentally, and there was no big deal. We just hit the back button and we're not there anymore. Well, that was easy. Just the other night, I'm working away, she's working away, all of a sudden I hear, uh-oh. I said, what happened? She said, nothing, I just got someplace I shouldn't have, I'm backed out of it. Done.
Some of it is the illicit nature. The kids are gonna sneak around your back and look at stuff they know they're not supposed to.
Right, right. If you have laptops, don't let the kids take them into their room. Look, your bedroom is where you sleep and where you do your homework. It's not where you watch television and it's not where you use your computer. Computers should be out in public areas. They had a whole, they arrested a whole bunch of people who were on one of the chat rooms, video chat. They were convincing young boys to take their clothes off on camera. If they were doing that in the living room, you would notice it.
One would hope.
One would hope. Bolt the laptop to the desk if it's in a public room. There's a company called Kensington. And now there's a million companies that make them, but there was one company called Kensington that made it looked like a bicycle chain, but it was for computers. And there's a Kensington lock on every laptop on Earth.
Usually with a little padlock symbol next to it. Everyone just ignores it.
But what you do is you stick the end of the Kensington lock, no matter who makes it, into there, and it's locked in now. And then, you know, you can undo it with a combination or a key or whichever type you bought.
Combination you can forget or a key you can lose, so that's all
right. Well, those are your two choices, right? Right. But that's the idea, and you bolt them to the desk in some way, wrap them around a leg or a steam pipe. I'm probably the only person left on earth with a steam pipe. And they can't get it anywhere. They're going to use it in there or they're not going to use it.
We even have one that has a motion sensing alarm, mostly intended for business travelers. If someone picks up your computer and walks away with it, it starts screaming. And the new, I don't know if I told you this, the Apple's newest MacBook Pros, one of their features is a sudden motion sensor. If you drop the computer, it spins down the hard drive and saves your data.
Doesn't scream?
Well, someone figured out there's the motion sensor that senses if it's falling or not. They made a little carpenter's level so you can see if your computer's level or not. And they made an alarm, like it sounds like a car alarm. So you use the remote control, you click it, and it goes chirp, chirp. And if someone moves the computer, it starts screaming like a car alarm.
Nice!
I'd rather see it scream, though, as it's falling.
Then you're going, boom.
It's one of those features no one's quite sure they want to test.
Yeah!
We're going to break the computer by dropping it.
Right.
We're pretty sure the hard drive and your data will be okay, but the computer's going to break.
Right. And, of course, if you're going to bolt this thing to the desk, you keep the key. It's all about the control. The parents have the control.
Which, for some parents, believe it or not, is tough. I've literally, that one email that I got was a client that says, I've got this, I gave my son a laptop, and I don't know what to do. He put a password on it, and he won't give it to me.
Erase C colon.
I sat back for a second, emailed them back, and I says, who's the parent? If you are, then take the laptop away from them.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing to do as a parent. I understand that. You know, pretty much I'll give my daughter anything. That's not a problem, except car keys.
That too is coming someday.
She cannot drive till she's 40. She knows that.
I thought that was date.
She can date when she's 30, but I drive. But the point is, if you... But Dave is actually absolutely right. You're the parent. Take the thing away. Now, I had a laptop for my daughter, again, a cast off from work, and eventually died. We know why it was cast off. But I took the wireless card out of it. So if she wanted to go into a room and work, great. All she could do was write her papers and all of that stuff. If she wanted to be online, she was in the computer room next to me, plugged in. You can still get laptops without wireless. It's hard, but you can. Or you can have them turned off.
There are also a number of programs that you can put on computers that can limit their computer time. Just like you can get them to limit TV time and everything else. You know how you can get those clocks in there. You can get software nowadays that if you only want them to be on a certain amount of time with their login, you can control all that.
In addition, now you just saw here, I couldn't get online until Andy put in a username and password. You can buy routers that do that too. And so nobody can get online until you put in the username and password. Oh, and about, yes?
Are you going to talk about software? If I run out and I try to go buy a router or software, there's so many of them out there.
We're going to talk about some of that stuff when we get a little later.
There's a very good one that I'll be mentioning a little bit, that if you folks want to track what your kids are doing, I've got a good one.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that. This is just, we're at the overview part here. We'll get there, and if we don't,
I will. I promise.
Accounts. Here's the real problem. In general, to use a computer, you have to identify yourself to the computer. That's called an account. When you buy a Windows box, and there are multiple levels of accounts. There's an administrator account, which can do anything.
You are God.
Then there are average user accounts, which can only do what you allow them to do. They can't install software, they can't erase software, blah, 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 blah. When you buy a Windows box, it comes up as administrator. And you're basically done. You're the administrator. Everybody's the administrator. If you sit down at that machine, you are the administrator. Therefore, this kid that Dave was just talking about can set an administrator password that no one else can get in. So what you want to do is create, to go in and create an administrator password, an administrator account. I'll show you how to do that later. I'll reboot into Windows. You can set up accounts that let you say, okay, I'm the administrator. Here's my username and password. Never forget that password and never give it to anyone else. Then you set up user accounts. You set up one for everybody in the house if you want to, or you just set up one.
But make that password something unique.
Right, for each person. Then each person has their own email and their own bookmarks, favorites, and all their own stuff so that they don't share. They don't, I don't see yours, you don't see mine. But the administrator sees can see everybody's. Then, and I'm even saying just two accounts. The administrator account, which you never use unless you're adding software, removing software, or changing somebody's rights, and then a regular user that you use to do things. That solves two problems. One, your kids can't lock you out of the computer. And two, they can't install software. A regular user cannot install software. That makes it just a little bit harder for viruses to do their job. And also means kids can't install all the music downloaders and all the yada yada that bring you all those viruses. And let them do all those illegal things.
How many have kids that have put passwords on that won't allow them? The parents can't get into the account. Anybody?
Anybody look at it?
Any of their kids. In other words, you've got a family computer, whether it's kids, grandchildren, and they've set up an account that you can't get into. Anybody?
If you find that, take the computer away. Just take the computer away. You're the adult.
Or
unplug it, take it out of the room. Done. Bring it to Dave or Steve.
Or here, I'm going to share a secret with you guys. It's a trade secret. And you say you've got one. He's more or less locked you out.
No, never asked him to put it.
Okay.
I didn't give it to him.
Well,
that's
for you kids. If your kids run into this, and I had one again, another parent. That the kids had set up the computer so the parents could never get into the kids' account and see what was going on. They said, I don't know what to do. Well, there's one little secret. If you boot the machine up, it's running Windows XP, and you boot it up into safe mode, and the screen's pretty big. The icons and everything else gets really big. There'll be usually the administrator. You'll see the administrator name. If you log on with that, you go into the control panel, and under users, you want to really tick the kid off. You go in, and you can select that kid's account, and you can change the password. So now they can't log in without you.
The administrator can do anything. Lock out an account, change the password, limit when that account can be active. So, you know what? You can't log on until 5 o'clock, and you're done at 7. It's legitimate. Our government people use that all the time. Does it? It just means my beard is a little itchy.
Can you interrogate what their password currently is, or you just can change it?
No, you can just...
No, you can't. You won't know it, but you can change it.
You can change it. So then they got to come to you, because if they go on, then you reboot the machine, and it's sitting there. And they go to say there's 3 or 4 accounts. They go to select theirs. They go to type in their password. It's just incorrect. Incorrect. Dad, I can't get on the computer.
You can also set the number of chances they get before it locks them out. So you set it to like 2. They type in the thing, oh, I typed it wrong. They type it again, it locks them out.
let me throw another thing. When I first got my computer, and this is Windows XP, I did exactly, I set up account for each of my kids and for my wife and I, so we all have our own account. And originally I made my account the only administrative account. And the thing I ran into is then all of a sudden all the programs the kids wanted to run wouldn't run.
90% of the programs you can install, and in the installation process, there's a checkbox just for you or for everybody on this machine. And if you just blow by that while you're installing software, you never see it.
Which a lot of folks do. They just go, next. Wait a minute, what was that last screen saying?
Right, but there is a screen on most new software. Now, if it's a real old program, no.
These were older programs, too. They were stuff from earlier,
That's a problem.
And they wouldn't.
Well, then as the administrator, you go in and make, say, your son an administrator. You install the software, turn him back into a regular user. Easy enough to do.
I don't think it would run.
There are some old programs that required you to be an administrator.
Yeah,
now you got to make a choice. Is that way more important than the security of your system or what? You know, then I don't know what to tell you in that case. It happens.
Some of the older programs, too, there's within Windows, you have to set it. Once it installs software, especially a lot of the older stuff, once the icon's on the desktop, if you right-click on it, you'll notice with Windows XP that there's a compatibility tab. That if you select the compatibility tab and then say it was working on Windows 98, say pretend this is 98. So when the program boots up, it goes to the operating system. What are you? I'm Windows 98. Oh, okay.
Sometimes that'll work. Yes?
I've got a computer. It's all set up. I think it's a great idea to have individual accounts where I can say, here's your time on a computer. What do I do with all the software that's already on the desktop? How do I get that into each individual user?
Again, there's two ways you can do that. One is when you install for new stuff, watch for that thing. For old stuff, move them. We'll show you again. I'll reboot into Windows later on. Remind me of this. There's a user called All Users. If you put the software in there, everybody can see it.
Might be some extra work on your part that you'll have to uninstall and reinstall.
Right. And for those of you who don't want to do it yourself, speak to these guys. Yes.
In the past, I've just made shortcuts for the program.
Sure. Sometimes that will work. Yes, absolutely.
Because the program itself generally lives at C program files. So that's a master folder that everyone can see.
Right. What he said was he makes shortcuts and drags them into other people's accounts. That's the same, basically the same thing you're doing with all users. Well, and here's how to make those accounts.
And another reason to do this is a troubleshooting tip. It's possible for one account to get corrupted so you can't log into it anymore.
Right.
So it's really, really good to have a second account you can log into to fix the first one. So create your administrator account first and then create a standard user you log into and never work in the administrator account unless you need to.
Right. That's one of the things that we learned in Unix. There's a root. There's somebody called root. That's the administrator, and Unix is called the root. And then there are the average users. You never log in as root. In fact, there are a lot of programs under Unix that will tell you, you're root. Do you really want to run this? You're not thinking, no.
The root user can do anything, including delete the operating system.
Yes.
There's no checks. It just, you say delete, and it goes, okay.
You're root. You must know what you're doing. That's why you don't want to be root. I cannot tell you the number of calls we get. I was cleaning my system and I deleted something I probably shouldn't have.
I didn't know what it was, so I threw it in the trash.
So I threw it in the trash. And now Windows won't boot.
That says missing file. Yeah,
you can't do that if you're not the administrator. Only the administrator could do that. So if you don't run as administrator, a lot of those problems go away. We shouldn't be telling you that because I don't care, but these guys make their living fixing those kind of problems.
No, there's plenty of other folks who will do it.
Yeah, right.
I tried creating a new user and screwed it up. All right, bring it in.
All right.
We're mostly talking about XP right now, correct?
Any version of Windows past 98.
XP.
So 2000 XP, Vista,
right.
Eventually.
98.
No. No.
Yeah, 98, it has no security.
Right.
Because clients will bring in their machines and they always go, well, you need my password. I go, for what? Because it logs on to escape.
There's a cancel button.
Cancel.
You want to log in? No, all right, cancel.
Which is,
type in a different
Microsoft
name.
Had an operating system they called Microsoft Bob.
Yes.
And it was.
That was Melinda's project.
That was Melinda's project before she married Bill. Now she just gives money away. God bless Melinda Gates. I'll just say right now, God bless that woman. She gives millions and millions
billions.
Of dollars to kids, billions to kids all over the world.
The
I got nothing but praise for her.
The world's richest foundation.
I got nothing but praise for her. At any rate, they had this thing called Microsoft Bob, and if you messed up your password three times, you get an error message saying, I see you're having trouble with your password. Would you like me to type it in for you? Yes, please. Thanks.
Wasn't there a paperclip along the way?
Clippy.
Clippy's
the office
yeah.
assistant. in Microsoft. And the similar things happen, or are also issues with Mac OS X. I'm pointing at my computer; you can't see the screen. In Mac OS X, the same sort of multiple users take effect as well.
Right, and it, there's actually a holdover from Microsoft Bob in Windows. You can change Clippy to look like a little dog, and the little dog is right out of Microsoft Bob.
Or,
better drawn,
or
the dog.
The wizard.
And the wizard,
I
right.
Like the wizard.
Here's how you do that. I don't even have to show you. It's right here. You go to the control panel, and one of the choices is user accounts. When you first get Windows XP, it generally has no password on the administrator account. It just boots up as the administrator. Put a password on it. Then create a user account, and there's a button right there to do that, so it's real easy. And create one for everybody, or just one more for, you know, everybody to use. Set a password and make it limited. A limited account as opposed to an administrator account.
Because here's the thing. For every account that you set up, you know, it's nice to have all these different accounts. But as you hear us talk every Sunday on Soundbites, that if you're trying to run SpyBot and Adaware, you have to run it on every account. So if you're running,
that's one of the things that I don't like about Windows. Under Linux, if you're the root, you can do whatever you want. Again, if I wanted to run an antivirus scanner against everybody, I could run it as root. And I hit.
Even though you're an administrator in Windows?
Yeah. Even though you're administrator,
yeah.
The virus scan will go through all the identities. But when it comes to spyware, Adaware, and SpyBot, you have to run those, and any of the spyware programs, you have to run it under each individual person.
Right.
The Mac has one extra level between administrator limited, a standard user. My wife is a standard user on my computer. You can do pretty much anything except install software, which is okay for the other adults. What Apple has added with their limited account is a lot of the parental controls. What websites they can go to, what email they can send, what IMs they can send, how long they can be on the computer, what specific programs they can launch. A standard user can run any program. A limited user, you say just this one program. So my son's a limited user and I only have his game on.
Yeah,
when you do the updates, it'll still update every
user. Yeah, that's usually for the whole OS, the Windows actual core programs. Usually the updates have nothing to do with accounts. Yeah.
You'd have
well,
to
you
do
want
that
to do
as
that
the,
as administrator.
Right, you'd have to do that as the administrator.
Yeah.
No. The update you do once, you have to run it in every ID.
Because see, things can, when you're logged on, say, as Johnny or Mary, it's using that name in those folders. It looks in their documents. If you look under Documents and Settings, you'll see all the users. And when you're logged on for that particular name, SpyBot and Adaware only check, and most all the spyware programs, only check that folder for the person that's logged on.
They only have permission to see their own files. So running Adaware under the user John doesn't have permission to see Mary's files, because that's the security involved. So it can't clean Mary's folder, because it's not Mary.
Yeah, but you'd think the administrator could, but apparently not under Windows. Has everybody written down this of what they needed this? Yes.
Yeah. I have a dumb question. Last week I...
The only dumb one is the one you don't ask.
I went to the administrator account, and I created another account. But I can't get into it. Every time it boots up, it comes up in the administrator account.
Well, that's auto-login.
That's right. That I left off of here. There's a checkbox that says auto-login. Uncheck that, and then it'll come up and say, who are you?
Okay. Afterwards, it's hiding in Windows. If you go to Start, Run, and Control, space, User Passwords 2, all one word, that brings up your login window where you can set the auto login or uncheck that, and it says each person must enter their name and password.
And another way under Windows XP that you can switch also is if you go down to the Start and say Shutdown, how it'll open up the window, and you can say either Shutdown or Switch Users. You can switch the user there.
Yep. Now you have to have a beefy machine with a lot of RAM because one user's programs keep running while you switch to another user.
Yeah, that's a problem also.
Or if you log off. If you log off, then you'll get that screen if there's multiple screen names.
Right.
My screensaver.
Ooh. Very slow.
A gentleman way in the back
recording.
With one more question, then
it's
we'll
the
move on.
Time
go ahead, sir.
Turn it off.
That was just a, there was a
the question,
patch.
Wait, but the yeah. question, for those of you who couldn't hear it, the question is, should you be able to run anything as a limited user, because the last time you did an update, stuff stopped running?
Which are two different things.
Right.
One.
The answer is yes, you should.
But it depends on whether, you know, like you said, if you're a limited user and you got other accounts, you should be in how they're set up to control what's installed and what shows up on the desktop. Is controlled by the rights that you gave that particular limited user.
Right.
But as far as the updates, again, the updates go into usually their core, the core programs within Windows. It has not, the users are over here, and when you get the updates, it's usually to the actual Windows programs, not the accounts. And the matter of fact, it was hopefully this past Tuesday, the previous Tuesday,
yesterday.
They did a patch. And now this Tuesday they did a patch to patch that patch, because that previous patch messed up everything as far as if you were using Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, wouldn't allow you to save documents and everything
you
else.
You couldn't save documents, you couldn't open documents, you couldn't create documents, you couldn't save them in My Documents.
Yeah.
So it probably had nothing to do with you and everything to do with the update. The theory is the update that came out last night we'll fix that. It doesn't matter. They screwed up bad.
Oh, yeah. They messed up a lot of other... matter of fact, I had one person with a version of Photoshop that got messed up, too.
Yeah, it's not so much the programs as the folders...
The DLL libraries.
And all that stuff. They screwed that all up. So, the theory is you start your machine today, you'll get the updates, and life will be just peachy.
I use Firefox, but as I said before, I have to use Internet Explorer for certain things because
right.
I got a notice saying Internet Explorer 7 beta. You said never use beta, so wait for the real one to come out then?
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, the question was, what about, yeah, she got a notice about Internet Explorer 7 beta. Beta software is geek speak for it doesn't work and it's going to break.
And might take the rest of your computer with it.
And easily might take the rest of your computer with it. So if you have the choice of using beta software, just say no.
Okay.
We
got
one question, lady in the back there.
In respect to Internet Explorer, I've heard that different browsers are good and bad.
Yes. Internet Explorer bad,
yeah.
Firefox good.
Yeah.
And the reason is this. Internet Explorer is not a bad browser in terms of its abilities. The problem is Microsoft has, in their need to be on every desktop on Earth, has intertwined all of their programs so closely together that you can do things in the browser that affect deep, deep, deep in the operating system. That's really not a good idea.
You can go to a website that will download a program, install that program, and say erase your hard drive without you knowing it or allowing that program to download.
Right.
And that's an extreme example, but there's a lot of spyware comes in that way,
right.
A lot of viruses come in that way.
And you don't even have to click on anything, you just have to go to the site.
Yeah.
Or you have to go to a site that's got like an ad from that other site, and it just happens in the background.
Because
now, Microsoft did that on purpose because they wanted to be able to update your system. That's the same mechanism as Windows Update. Okay? They have to be able to dig deep into the operating system to do that. I still think it's a terrible idea. Firefox won't allow that to happen. It sits on top of the operating system like any real application, and if you try to do something deep in the operating system, it's going to say, I don't think so. The other part of the problem is, if you use, for example, if you go in as a limited user, and you hit one of those websites, it's still going to take over your system because no matter who or what you are, Internet Explorer, deep down inside, runs as administrator.
And
you get no choice in that.
And 95% of the folks out there that are writing the spam and the viruses and the Trojans and everything else are counting on most 95% of the folks using the machine to use IE, especially all your AOL help users. They depend on Internet Explorer. So they're going for the majority. And it's the default. A lot of folks don't realize. You mean I can use more than one browser?
Yeah, if you click on a blue E to open a web page, that's Internet Explorer. And the same problem exists in Outlook Express. Don't use that either. Use Thunderbird.
Outlook Express is exactly the same thing. In fact, when you read email in Outlook Express, it uses Internet Explorer to show you your email. So I don't even have to send you to a web page. I just have to send you an email that grabs that stuff and goes down into your system and erases your hard drive.
I got.
Don't use Internet Explorer.
Gentleman with a WHAM shirt on.
All beta software. How about Microsoft Anti-Spyware?
Bad. I can't tell you the number of calls I get. Oh, my system died.
I heard you guys on the show say that the Anti-Spyware and Microsoft was a good one.
Not us.
Not on our show? Nothing. I don't know what station you've been listening to.
Get
the shirt back. Not
you
us.
You might say it's good for nothing.
What you may have heard us say is that it's good technology, and once it comes out, it's certainly something you could, you know, look at and evaluate. But right now, do not run beta software of any sort unless you're a beta tester.
And
used to be you could be a beta tester. You would get a special dispensation for the company to run software that wasn't available yet.
Those were the days.
And you tell them what went wrong and stuff like that. But did you hear what I just said? You tell them what went wrong. They assumed something was going to go wrong and it would ruin your machine.
That was the highlight of our lives.
Oh, well.
Back then, Nick and I, we test different software. And you had to expect that it was going to break. So you'd always have a second machine. You put it on there, and you know, usually a big scream would come from the room.
I found an unreported bug.
Yes, I broke it.
Yeah, you'd want to be the first one to report a bug. That was like, you know, that was, hey, look,
plus,
that bug's got my name on it.
Plus the fact that they're going to make you pay for it. There's plenty of better free alternatives.
Right.
Let's put it this way. How Microsoft is so great with coming out with their patches, how well do you think they're going to keep up with the spyware and that?
Why would you buy spyware software from a company that's causing the spyware problem to begin with?
Well, what their recommendation we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Microsoft's recommendation is to not bother cleaning spyware off your computer.
Yep.
Their recommendation is to erase your hard drive and start over.
And this is the company you want to buy anti-spyware software from.
Yeah. Yeah, Apple Safari. Apple being, you know, a real operating system.
Linux?
Linux, yep. Well, because Apple is also Unix.
Right.
Doesn't have those problems as Internet Explorer. Plus the fact Microsoft abandoned Internet Explorer 4 years ago, and they took it off their website.
On the Mac.
Well, they're abandoning it on Windows, too. It's built into Windows. You can no longer download it separately.
Right.
In fact, you can't download the uninstaller because it's built into Windows. So Safari is fine. Firefox is fine. They don't let those things come through. And fortunately, there isn't any yet for the Mac.
I'm sorry.
There's a couple of Trojans, but you have to work really hard to find where to download a Trojan.
But that's changing. So I would make sure if you're running a Mac, you should really be running antivirus software.
The Intel
you really chip. Should be. The other thing about Safari is the engine they use that actually does the displaying has not been updated in a very long time. And right now, it's fairly easy to break Safari. So if you find yourself going to sites that break Safari, run Firefox. Safari will update, that's not a question, but I'm saying right now, don't frustrate yourself if you start breaking, if Safari starts dying and dying and dying.
If it crashes every time you go to a website, one, don't go to the website, and don't use Safari, try Firefox.
Right. Doctor, it hurts when I do this, don't do this.
And just so you folks know, as far as the PC side, you know, you hear us talk about, you know, there's IE on there and we recommend using Firefox. There are a lot of other browsers out there that you can use. Netscape.
Opera. OmniWeb.
You can have those all on your desktop. And you can use them depending on what site you like. Like I say, you usually have to use IE if you're going to get any of the downloads or that type of stuff.
Yeah, Windows Update requires Internet Explorer.
Explorer.
Oh, no, no.
A lot of the government sites require you to go to the using Internet Explorer.
But that's changing as well. A lot of governments are dumping Windows because of the security problems.
So you can run multiple browsers if you want to.
Oh, they changed the space. Dadnabbit.
Yes, and then
no.
No, you can just delete it off your desktop. You,
but the program is still there and still runs in the background. You cannot remove Internet Explorer or Outlook Express.
That's the one case that, remember, they went to court because they wanted to sit there and say, the, you know, it's an intertwined, and it's so involved in there that he won the court case saying that it's part of the operation.
Yeah, up through version 5 you could remove. Version 6
yes,
they
ma'am.
Embedded.
Blue.
Yeah, they changed it.
Yeah. No, Outlook
yes.
won't. Well, Outlook
well,
won't.
Well, yeah, Outlook doesn't necessarily.
Outlook won't. But it, matter of fact, a better program for your email than Outlook is use Firefox. I mean Thunderbird.
Which is the companion
Outlook,
to Firefox.
Outlook also uses Internet Explorer as its display engine. So if it says Microsoft and it displays something, it's using Internet Explorer.
But Thunderbird you'll like a lot better, and it's very easy to use. If you folks haven't switched over, go to it. Because when you install the program, it'll say, oh, I'm using Outlook or Outlook Express. And it'll move all your emails, all your bookmarks, and all your settings, so you don't have to retype in your POP server, your SMTP. It does everything, moves it on over, and you can just erase Outlook Express right off your desktop. And just use the Firefox and Thunderbird.
And then my second question is, how many of these viruses or these things that you can catch are the adware and
the
spybot catching?
The question is, how many of the viruses and stuff you can get are adware and spybot catching?
Right now, the virus count, virus slash Trojan, is up to 182,673.
Several thousand a week. Come
now,
on.
The thing of it is, though, is here's what's happened. You're not seeing as many viruses, but you're seeing Trojans. And what we mean by Trojans are literally programs that can get in there. One of the
well,
big ones.
Backing up a step, programs that masquerade as something else, the Trojan War. So you think you're downloading the hot new song from Britney Spears, or you think you're downloading a program that sounds cool, and it actually installs this other code.
It could download one that's called Keystroker. Again, it sits there and captures every key that you're typing. So if you're doing banking or anything else, it's creating this whole log file. And at certain times of the day, it sends it back out to the person that originally wrote that Trojan, and they're getting all your information. So that's why I would say, you know, you got to constantly keep the virus software up to date and do the virus scan weekly, if not every other day. It doesn't hurt. You can have it run at night, while you're sleeping, just turn the monitor off, leave the box running. I have mine running 24/7. And that could be running, you know, every other night, scanning your machine if you're using it a lot. Mine does, because I literally live on the internet. You know, a typical morning, I'm getting a couple thousand emails.
Can you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night without checking your email? Just a minute. Let me check my email.
Yeah, no, that's no problem, because I got to go all the way down 3 floors, and I'm not going there.
My wife has turned into some sort of junkie. She used to be, you know, a human being. Now she has moved her laptop into the dining room downstairs, and she literally, I said this morning, honey, you got to move your car. I got to go to work. All of a sudden, I realize I'm standing in the kitchen with my bag and my hat and my coffee. And, honey, just check an email.
In a minute, honey. You remember the olden days when it was us that said, in a minute, honey?
Just a minute, honey.
You women are at it now.
She's got the sound cranked up, so if email comes in, she can run. I tried to explain to her, honey, the whole idea here is you can read it at your leisure. See, you get to be in charge. She also can't walk by a phone without answering it. You know, I mean, if it's ringing, I'm not that way. The phone rings, if I don't feel like answering the phone, I don't answer the phone. I got a life.
That's why they have answering machines.
That's why I have an answering machine, exactly. If it's really, really, really important, they'll call my cell phone. And there's only three people on earth who have that number. Oh, five. Four. Right. Now five people. She's got, how'd you get it? Oh, I see.
There was a question.
There was one over here.
Hold on. Yeah.
When you dance a security tango, you recommend to do it in safe mode. But I thought you could only log on as a administrator.
No, you only have to do it in safe mode if Adware and SpyBot won't run correctly.
If there's problems in regular mode, you can do it in safe mode. Right. Safe mode adds that hidden administrator user, but gives you all the other ones too.
Yeah.
Right. So you can do Yeah.
Well, the problem is, since you're running in generic VGA mode, everything on your screen is really big. If you have a lot of users, you may not be able to see the icons to go down. You arrow down, and it shows you the rest of the users.
Yeah.
Getfirefox.com.
And then you can download it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, getfirefox.com.
Getfirefox.
Yep.
Or
firefox.com.
Or mozilla.com.
Yeah, Mozilla is the company that makes the program. There's two types of
Yeah, it suites. Basically takes you to the mozilla.com/firefox.
And you
Isn't
want
that
two
on those
programs.
Sheets I gave you guys?
Yeah.
You want two
yeah.
of them.
Well, there's two. There's two basic classes. There's all-in-one programs. Netscape and Mozilla, the Mozilla suite, give you web and mail and chat and everything in one giant program. And there's problems running one giant program on your machine. So they split everything out, so the Mozilla group made Firefox as the browser, Thunderbird as the email program, IRC as the chat program, so you can run smaller, leaner programs individually.
Yeah, but this is also on that handout sheet that I gave you folks. Mozilla.com/Firefox is where you get Firefox. Mozilla.com/Thunderbird is where you get Thunderbird. Hold on, this guy was first, and then you.
What did you mean when you talked about core programs?
Core programs? The basic programs that run behind Windows that you never see. The pieces of Windows. Windows is a huge program. It's actually a whole bunch of little programs that it pulls in and out pieces of as it needs them. Those are the core programs of Windows that you don't normally see, you don't normally interact with or run.
Like Explorer. Explorer is literally...
Well, there's 27 programs named Explorer.
Right, right. Bill Gates is worth, what, $100 zillion? He can't hire somebody to make up names? Internet Explorer, Windows Explorer.
Explorer.
Those are also, they're basically little pieces of Windows. Anytime you see a DLL program, Dynamic Link Library, that's really a little core program of Windows that only gets loaded and linked in when it's needed. And then dumped again. So there's hundreds of those, thousands. It's like you've got a little rabbit running through the house dropping pellets everywhere. There's DLL programs everywhere.
And when you trip over one, it can make everything else not work.
Right. Yeah.
Last year, September, I had a similar workshop. I changed. So you switched to Firefox. I went home, but I totally had changed them. So far, so good.
But. We win.
But.
That's Mr. But to you, lady. Well, first, let's stop that now. What operating system are you running? XP? ME.
No!
See, hold him down, hold him down. We finally trained you folks to at least be embarrassed that you're still running ME. Now we have to train you to get off it. Yes, you need to run defrag semi-regularly because...
Send
there's
me
a, there's
CD,
a,
I'll smash
what
it for
I
you.
I was going to tell you, is this correct? That eventually somebody told you, because it just wouldn't run. I just couldn't.
You know what ME stands for?
Whose are you running? Microsoft's or somebody else's?
Microsoft. But and even up to this day, the only way I can run the cleaning system is I go into safe mode.
It doesn't run or it stops?
In regular mode, it just won't run. It just won't
well, that's a feature. Here's the problem. Well, certainly, Firefox had nothing to do with that.
No.
No.
Firefox doesn't go anywhere near any of those programs.
The problem you're having, though, is you've got an operating system.
Remain calm. Be polite. Okay, calm down. Okay.
Windows 98 outlasted Windows ME. Because ME stands for many errors.
They made ME. They quickly released.
That operating system literally, 98 just ended just this past year. I told a few folks, I went over to CompUSA one time. 98 was still on the shelf along with Windows 2000 and XP was just coming out. Couldn't find ME anywhere. They gave up on it a long time ago.
They basically made ME because not enough people were buying 2000.
They're even bringing their product out because here's the thing. A lot of folks don't know this. When ME came out, he was also bringing out Windows 2000 at the same time. So a lot of the developers said, oh, wait a minute. Why write for this program when I've got a Windows 2000 that's coming out? It's NTFS. That's a new format. That's getting a little too technical. But it was a better operating system, ran more efficient.
It was a real operating system.
Didn't need DOS any longer, like XP doesn't. So a lot of them said, well, do we develop this system that we know is going to last long, or go with Windows 2000? They went with Windows 2000. 99% of the time, if you are looking for, say, a particular driver or that for ME, they'll tell you, I use the Windows 98. That should work.
Might.
Security
but might not.
Was long gone. So if you haven't been able to keep up, and especially if you're trying to install any of the newer programs or anything else,
it's not going
to
work well.
They could cause problems.
Here's the real problem for you as a user. If you want to keep using ME or 98, those of you who are still on 98 or ME, God bless you. There are no updates. There is no support. Microsoft doesn't support it. You get no security updates. All the errors they found in ME and 98, they're not fixing them. They don't care.
Norton doesn't even, the newer versions of Norton, 2005 and on up, will no longer support 98 or ME.
You can't get a fix. And as Dave said, you buy a new printer, you're not going to have a driver. You buy a scanner, no driver.
There's no driver for the 98 printers in XP.
Right. So the real problem is you're stuck with what you have today, and adding anything to it is going to be problematic. In addition, you're wide open on the internet. It's like walking down a dark alley in New York City with 20s hanging out of your pocket. Not a good idea.
But I know the shout.
You know the shout?
Hi, I know.
Yeah, right.
It's an old Cosby routine.
It's an old Cosby routine.
It's not to pick on you too much. But if you have a decent machine, and what I mean by decent machine, if you have at least a Pentium 3, and say it's 350 megahertz or faster, you can go to XP home. You might need a little more memory. Your current machine is probably running on 128 meg. If you bump it up to Windows XP upgrade and add another 256 to get you up to 384, you're going to have a decent machine for the average user.
Although by the time you spend that much, you can buy a brand new cheap computer.
Right. Well, before we go on, why don't we take a quick break?
Thank you.
No, my pleasure. Sanitation facilities are out that way. Food and drink is back there. Sunshine is along the walls. We'll reconvene in about 10 minutes.
Nick, where are you?
Where's Lynn? Lynn?
Unpause. Is that in focus?
Yes, that's it.
Why do we let him in? All right.
Wow.
Moving right along. Here's a tip. Don't look into that. Training. If you have young children, or in fact just a young child, the Jesuits, they attribute a saying to the Jesuits. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I was taught by Basilians, who are the stormtroopers of the Catholic Church. The Jesuits say, give me your child before he's seven and he's mine for life. That's true here, too. Take the time to teach your children. Not just about the good stuff, the cool stuff on the internet, but the bad stuff as well. You know, like I did with my daughter. Don't make a deal out of it. You mustn't go here, it's bad. What's the first place they're going to go? What are you thinking?
But, you know, if we ended up someplace we shouldn't be, we laughed about it and moved on. No stigma, no problem, no big deal.
That's where, that on that handout, you'll notice we list some websites. That Safe Kids is a great one that you're going to want to sit down with your kids and go to. It teaches you, both you and them, a lot on what's good on the internet, what's bad, and how to handle things.
Well, we'll talk about those at the end. We'll talk about those at the end.
Yeah.
If your child is older and already knows more than you do, have your kids teach you. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you stupid. It just means you don't know this. And it's family time with your kids. How precious is that? They're only around for a while, and they start dating people in leather jackets. So you really need...
Hey.
I'm just preparing
what's
for the future.
What's wrong with
it? Well, right.
And they might have a motorcycle, too.
Yes.
I know it. I tell you, when my daughter's old enough to date, I'm coming to the door in nothing but cut-off jeans, a leather vest, and a big hunting knife.
Can I help you?
Yeah, right. What do you want? Paper boy?
You got to do the do-rag and then the earring.
Earring. All right. But let
Hulk Hogan. Ever see his show?
No, thank you.
He's got a reality family show. And
I don't think so.
The daughter, it's so funny. The stuff that Hogan is a complete, wimp.
but have them teach you. Family time is good. You know, we all complain that we don't have enough time with our kids anymore. We don't have time to do things as a family. You sit on the computer and have them teach you. You don't know about word processing? They do. You don't know about how to hang around the internet? They do. Let them teach you. It makes them feel good, gives them a sense of self-worth, and it teaches you something. Everybody wins. And it's not a television. Everybody wins. Set some rules. You're the adult. Somebody's got to be the adult. God picked you because you're older. So you get to decide. How much time can you be online all day? You know, and when does it stop? And when it stops? It stops. Only after homework. Unless they're doing their homework on the computer, obviously. But, you know, you can't go IMing people and doing this and doing that when you're supposed to be doing your homework. The homework's not done. You don't get to watch TV, you don't get to listen to radio, you don't go out and play. You do your homework. Same thing with the computer.
IM and text messaging is the new way to cheat now in school. Cell phones and text. What's number six?
It used to be, when I teach, it used to be you check to see if they had rubber bands on their wrist, which you pull up and there's all the answers on the rubber band. Under the bill of the cap where they would write stuff. That's
he was a student. He knows what
no caps doing. In my exams, mister. That's right. Hang your head in shame. And I used to have to tell them to do that. Now I tell them, if I see an IM open on your desk, you flunk. If I see, you know, any of this or that, if your phone rings, you flunk. Turn off the phone. If it's an emergency, give me the phone. I'm not playing. This is your education.
A little phone rack at the desk when everyone walks in. Check your phones.
Check your phones. I have told people I will flunk you if your phone rings during an exam. Not during the class. I just hope they got a certain amount of common sense. But if it's when I teach, there's no downtime. It's not like, you know, screw it, I'm making a phone call. We're working every minute. Sometimes I'm singing and dancing, but something's going on every minute. But during the exam, I have flunked people for their phone going off in the exam. I will do it. I don't care. And that's the point. You set a rule, you follow through. When my daughter is out with her friends, and I say, if you keep this up, X will happen or X won't happen, other kids laugh. My daughter always goes, no, he's serious. Because she knows, if I say it, I'll do it, so don't make me say it.
What's your McDonald's Playland story? 5 more minutes?
Oh, when my daughter was very, very young. We get to McDonald's, and this was the one on Monroe Avenue. Used to have a Playland in the back, out Monroe. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We'd come in, and this was a treat once a week. You know, Amelia and I had our time together.
And we'd get our meal and we'd go sit in the back. Mom was off doing whatever she wanted to do. She loved this time. She tried to make it 2, 3, 4 times a week. And we'd get, you know, we'd get our little happy meal or whatever again. We'd go sit in the back. But the deal was, she had to sit with her back to the playland. You know those habit trails they put up? She had to sit with her back to that and eat. And only when she was done eating could she go play. And I'd bring a book. And then I would say, you know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was. And usually it was 15 minutes and then 40 minutes later. 10 minutes, Amelia, you know, and then another 20 minutes later, 5 minutes. But she knew there were time, and I would count down. And she knew that if she didn't come when I called her, we wouldn't go next week. And that happened a couple of times. So we go there this one time, and from the minute we walk in the door, Jimmy? Jimmy? Get out of there now! Jimmy! Damn it, Jimmy, get up! The whole time we're eating, the whole time Amelia's playing, there's this woman standing right in front of the thing screaming at Jimmy, who's sticking his face out the window. Because Mom can't get up into the little habit trail. It's not human-sized.
Could be fun.
So I'm sitting there. I can't read. I got a headache. I'm listening to this woman scream the whole time we're there. And that's like an hour, right? By the time we get our meal and eat, and she goes and plays, and I give her some time with you. So finally, at one point, I look up and said, Amelia? Yes, Dad? 10 more minutes. This lady stops and gives me a look and laughs at me. Goes back to screaming at Jimmy. Amelia, 5 minutes. She stops again, and she just looks at me. She waits till she makes eye contact. She shakes her head, and she turns like, you idiot. Turns away. Amelia, time to go. She says, Dad, can I go down the slide one more time? And she laughs because she knows now Amelia's going to run up in the middle of the thing and hang with Jimmy, right? Yeah, go ahead, honey. She goes up, comes down the slide, comes right over to me. If looks could kill, I would not be standing here today. And when we left, we were still like, damn it, Jimmy, get the... And I thought, who's in charge in this family?
Jimmy!
You need to be in charge. When you say no, you mean no. And disobeying the rules has consequences. That doesn't mean you beat your kid with a cane. It means that, you know, when they're young, she had to sit on the step. 1 minute for every year. So she was 5 and she had to sit on the step was 5 minutes. And she'd sit there and bawl her eyes out. Broke my heart. 5 minutes. Sometimes it was 4. So she'd sit there. And kids learn. Kids learn if they have rules and the rules actually mean something, and there are consequences for breaking the rules, they don't break the rules. It's their job to push the envelope. It's your job to push back. I can't make it any easier and simpler than that. All right, you got a problem? You think you're having a problem with your kids? You haven't done this because they're older now, and you never did any of this, and you might think you might be a problem? E-Blaster.
This is the program that I was telling you in the back there, that you were wondering what you can do to keep track of your kids. Well, this one product, I've checked this out, is E-Blast. Again, you can put it on your machine.
I'm driving, but I'm coming to know.
And you're the administrator. Now, here's the cool thing about it. You won't see any icon on your desktop. What they've done is sort of like they did with the library. This program, you do a few keystrokes, it'll open up a little menu, you put in the password, and then you have this control that's unbelievable. It will shock the hell out of your kids. It's the only polite way to put it. Because whether they're doing emails, instant messaging, chatting, visiting websites and keystrokes, it's all captured on a log. Here's the other cool thing. Like when they're IMing back and forth, it not only gives you what they're typing, but their friends and what they're typing back to them.
Wow.
So you want to talk about cool control that you can literally monitor. And you have to. It's not that you don't distrust them. Here's the thing. You've got to be worried about their safety. It's not a matter of whether your kid is good or not. There are, and I guarantee you, I've had two friends, their daughters literally run away. One of them, I was able to help them track her down, and she wound up in Spokane, Washington, out there with another older gentleman. These predators are out there.
They claim they're a 14-year-old boy in the next town.
You hear on the news all the time how the, one of the news teams will go on and pretend that they're a 14-year-old person. So it's not that you distrust your kids, and that's the way you've got to come across. It's not you distrust them.
You distrust everybody else.
Exactly. Because you got, you're going to, you know, feel pretty darn foolish if they wind up taking off with somebody or meet somebody downtown or some other place that they're in their comfort zone, but it turns out to be some other predator.
That's one of the problems the computer has brought up is the perceived anonymity. You're in your living room. You're typing on your computer. Nothing can happen. You don't go down dark alleys in the middle of the night with $20 bills hanging out of your pocket unless you know the shout. So the same thing on your computer. You don't talk to strangers. You know, if someone says they're a 14-year-old boy, you can't see them, so you don't believe them. And some of the case histories we've read about are just amazing. People who don't think, kids, but don't think they're doing anything. Mrs. Smith's fourth period algebra was horrible. Google search, schools. Mrs. Smith, algebra, I know where you are now. I just went to the Trojans game the other night. Google's Trojans, this team, with Mrs. Smith, all right, I can find you. It's very easy to use innocuous-sounding information to find people.
Years ago, I was teaching the police department. We were looking at what it was like to go online and go into chat rooms. And we talked about how one of the problems is that a lot of kids use names, screen names, that are obviously kid names. Sweet 16. QT Pie.
Hot Mama.
Well, or Hot Mama.
That's older.
But, well, right. So I went into this chat room, and I went in as like Fred or Jim or something. And I wandered around for a while. Nobody talked to me. It was not a big deal. I said, all right, watch. So I went back out, and I logged back in as Stud Muffin. I wasn't on 6 seconds when Lady in Red. Oh, hi, want to chat? Want a private chat?
Ding.
Ding. Want a private chat? Absolutely. Oh, police guys are going, ooh. So we get into the chat room, and we start just chatting and blah, blah, blah. And then she says, is your door closed? Absolutely. She starts in. And finally she says, what are you doing now? I said, do you really want to know? Said, oh, yes. I said, I'm teaching a class full of policemen how to use the internet. Bam! She was gone. Now, the cops are all angry because I've let Lady in Red go. And then I stopped them all and said, how do you know that Lady in Red doesn't look just like me?
Not a lady and ain't wearing red.
You don't know. I don't think if you looked at me, the first word that came to mind would be Stud Muffin. Maybe you, okay, maybe you, Mark, but not anybody else. Yeah, cause you know,
they never saw
you know
him on stage. That's right.
Well, I got great games.
He looks great in the dress.
But I do, I actually do.
What was that site that they cracked down on a few months ago, 40-year-old-fatmen.com or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what to do with the domain name anymore. But the point is, you don't know, and you cannot assume. Yes, ma'am.
This e-planter, this is something, again, that you can get on a website?
No, it's a product that, well, yes, you can purchase it.
eBlaster.com. It's on the list of websites on the handout. Let's go there and find out.
We can find out.
$30.
I want to
say $30.
We'll guess.
$29.95.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. But the product is fantastic in that, again, it's hidden. So your kids don't even know that it's there. But yet you can see a log reference of everything that happened on it.
Now
whether the websites that they're going to, the instant messaging.
Bottom middle.
Bottom middle by now. There it is.
How much system?
90. Whoa! They're very proud of this software.
$100.
On the other hand,
there's other
versions. If you need it, you need it. The cool thing about this is, not only does it do everything Dave said it does, it emails you. So you can get an email at work. Honey, why are you at that website?
It's an accident.
Then why are you still at that website?
That was one of the old tricks in the early days when IT could just monitor the name of the program you're running. You name solitaire MS Word. So instead of them seeing Solitaire running, it's MS Word is running.
Right.
See, there are different packages.
Right. But eBlaster is the home product. Yeah, it's $100, but if it's something you feel you need.
Let's put it this way, you know, if you're really worried about your kids, how much is their safety worth?
Right.
I mean, because like I say, and again, it's not your kid that you've got to worry about. You've got to worry about everybody else that might be coming after your kid.
And will it not only monitor the
safety,
but
that I'm not sure.
eBlaster does not do that. You would need other software to do that.
NetNanny.
The big problem with those kind of sites that watch for the dirty words and don't let you go there, at the other end, so many of those sites are created so fast, it's virtually impossible to block against them. So
they always have doing workarounds.
Right. And
by the time an update comes out, the site is gone and it's turned into something else.
I knew a guy that would buy NetNanny to get the list of dirty sites. Like, you need a list to find them.
Pretty much any random set of keystrokes. Bang your hand on the keyboard and hit enter and you're at one of those sites.
Which is why you want to set up a whitelist. Does Firefox do whitelists?
Yeah.
Safari does. On the Mac. You type in a list of the sites they're allowed to go to. And they can't go to anywhere else. So that's a safer way to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem. There are so many that you do want to legitimately let them go to.
Well, the way Safari does it, if they type in a different address, it says this is not on your approved list. Enter in your administrator password. You call mom over, type the password. So for the first couple of days, you might be entering your password.
That can be a problem. But doing it the other way causes problems too. For example, AOL instituted a program that would check for bad words. All of a sudden, the entire breast cancer support site was unable to do anything because it used the word breast and mammaries and all of it. And they were knocked out. That's really not a good thing.
They got sued a little while later for allowing an anti-Semitic message to go through. So they get sued for blocking, they get sued for not blocking. They can't win.
Right. But no.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Mayberry. I hear that. eBlaster logs where they go. So you've got the evidence. Right. You can do a lot of that in the normal browser. You can look through the history yourself.
Right.
You can look through IM logs yourself. All the IM programs have log files. As the kids get older, they know how to turn that off. They know how to clear that so that
clear
you can't
out,
find
yeah.
what they're doing.
I can go in and clear out the history. You know, one keystroke, right. You can sit there and clear out the history. They can be surfing for the whole afternoon. And then just quick look to clear history. It's gone.
I did that for a customer once and cleared all the history out from their kid going to some horrible sites. Forgot the recent documents folder.
One of the things that I did for my daughter... when I set up her machine, I put Linux on it because I do support all day at work. I don't want to do it when I come home. And one of the things she said was, you know, and she's pushing that envelope. I'm working, she's working. Dad, yeah, honey. She waited until I was deep into writing something. Can I have instant messaging? Sure, honey. No, really, Dad. What? Sure, honey, you can have instant messaging. But here's the deal. I run an instant messaging server at work. It connects to everybody. It connects to AOL, and it connects to ICQ, and it connects to all of them. But when you go through my server, I can record everything into a database. And I told her this. And I said, I'm not going to look all the time, but I reserve the right to look. If you want instant messaging, this is how you get it. If you don't, fine. Often does, yeah, yeah. But so that's how I solved it. I've looked at the conversations all. School sucked today. Yeah, it really did. Yeah, lol. Okay.
But what I still don't get is I got teenage grandchildren. Is they can be sitting IMing and still on their cell phone.
They're IMing. They're on the cell phone. They're listening to music. The television's going, and they're surfing the web.
And they're talking to the person they're IMing.
Yes.
Am I missing something?
Apparently you are.
Yeah.
It's all about that multimedia experience.
It's all about age.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Because I missed that boat.
I don't even remember that I'm on the phone and I'm holding it. What the hell? Oh, hi. Yeah.
It just fascinated me, I guess.
I don't know. I don't think so either.
You can block.
You can tell it to block sites.
Yeah, you can block sites.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a whitelist.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can't
no whitelist.
Like
what?
I said, they've got various products there.
Scroll down.
That will work.
Version.
See, there's a network edition.
Well, they have a Mac
version.
Will that
allow you to sit on one machine and look at what's going on the other machine?
No, that's a different program.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. There's a network version.
That will let you see what other people are doing as they're doing it?
It'll create, it'll sit there.
Yeah, create snapshots as much as once per second, and then you can see what those are. Generally speaking, there's a program called VNC, Virtual Network Computing, that allows you to log in and take control of another computer. It's used a lot by server managers, so you have one computer you're on and you can control your 10 servers. You don't have to physically walk to each one of them. A lot of tech support companies use it. I'm going to take control of your computer now and they'll fix something. The funny part is the most common problem is the internet isn't working, so they can't log in and fix it for you because the internet isn't working.
That poses a question. Okay, you got a computer and the company says, let me into your machine. Is that safe? Like if Gateway says...
If you call them and what usually happens is a little...
The question for everybody. The question was, if you're on tech support and they say, oh, let me get into your computer remotely, is that safe?
Most likely, if you called them, then they who it is. A little thing will pop up, say, do you want to allow this person to control? That's safe. If a random pop-up says you want control, no.
Yeah, the remote access, right? Because I do that for a lot of my clients. I put on PC Anywhere.
Yeah, this commercial program, PC Anywhere, Timbuktu.
It's fantastic that I can literally take over a client's machine.
Saves the drive to Mount Morris.
And
you can see what they're doing on the screen.
Yep. Sit there and I can watch it and see things out. And I can also enabled me that if they need a new user to be set up or that type of stuff, I don't have to drive all the way, say, down to Canandaigua or that with the price of gas.
It is. Timbuktu and Utopia commercial programs for more corporate use. There's free programs called VNC, VNC server. Chicken of the VNC is the client.
Yes, sir.
Instant messaging. Don't these kids have their own original language now that you can't even understand?
Tell them, Nick,
right,
about abbreviations. That.
Well, it's getting worse. Yeah, he meant a minute ago, LOL, laugh out loud.
AFAIK, as far as I know.
As far as I know. But it's gotten even worse than that now. They're using cell phone text messaging abbreviations.
Right.
One of the early things with cell phone text messages is the more characters, is like Western Union, the more characters you sent, the more it cost you. So they learned how to make really short abbreviations for text messaging.
It's
so
like what we used to see in the ads. If you can read this, you can be a secretary or whatever it was in those days. Yeah. But in my class, I also tell them, and I have to put this in the syllabus, no IM speak, no text messaging speak in the papers you write. I get papers written that are just, I understand this stuff, I speak it, I read it, I can do it. I don't want to! But they put this stuff in the papers now. They're so used to it, it's what they type all day long.
FWIW. ROLF.
ROLF, rolling on the floor laughing. ROLF MAO.
I just had to, this is just last year, I had to hire a new office manager. And filling out the job applications, I got a lot. And it's scary. Because I know a lot of you folks, when growing up, they used to stress handwriting. I'll bet you I got at least 20 applications. One, telling me a little bit about themselves. Had some IM references in it. I had to go to my wife because I couldn't figure them out. But just trying to understand what the hell they were writing.
That's one sad thing. I will say, you know, and I fix computers for a living. That's one sad thing that's gone away is writing the paper.
You know that.
They don't write it out anymore. Right. It's all on the keyboard.
Right.
So when it comes to filling out a job application, it looked like chicken scratch. That I couldn't even figure out what they were doing. And again, even telling me what they were doing. Some of these IM terms.
Here are some. Rolling on the floor laughing. Can y'all read that?
No.
No? Let me make it bigger. Actually, there are people who actually do that, yes. Where the heck is my font here?
Command plus, more mouse.
Yeah, command plus, I think.
Under view?
Or control, command, control.
Yeah. Oh, no wonder, this is G-edit, it doesn't do that. I can do it under preferences, though. It doesn't do it somewhere else.
I want to set up PC Anywhere on my kid's computer. I could shadow when they're doing IM and what they're doing on the other home computer.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't have to type anything. It'll just out my
That's better.
It would open up a screen.
You'd see their window.
And you will literally see what's going on. If you really want to drive them nuts.
But they'll see that you're doing that.
Yeah.
That's eBlaster's a little different.
You can
but here
start moving the mouse around.
Here are some of the other ones.
Programs.
Yeah. ROFL, rolling on the floor. Rolling on the floor laughing my ass off.
Well, and all this
later.
All this came about because through text you can't convey emotion. And so the emoticons, too, for being able, you put a smiley face at the end of a message, they know you're kidding. And
what
now,
the heck is that? Do we want to know?
Text messaging.
If you can read this, you can do text messaging. As far as I know.
FWIW.
What is it worth?
But these are the ones we know. They're using ones.
There's a site that has the listing of them.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
What is number four? I'm just curious.
If you can read this, you can do text messaging.
Oh!
So, there you go.
I guess I can't do text messaging.
I'll meet you at the mall.
No, it should be you.
Yeah. You, sorry. I'll meet you at the mall later.
Oh my God.
See,
dump a boyfriend.
And
some of that's because the way you have to enter characters into a text messaging on your phone pad, every number is three or four letters. So the fewer you see someone F, you know, 6, 6, 6, 6, 4, you know, 4.
Right,
four,
and you
four,
see
three.
This a lot. Age, sex, location. How old are you? What sex are you? And where are you?
Oh, wow.
And kids just. You know. Because it's like, hi there, how are you? What's your name? Meet somebody at the mall. Oh, hi, my name is Fred. My name is Ann. How are you? They don't think anything of this. You don't need a whole lot more information than this.
Yeah, when you see somebody in person, you can tell how old they are. The anonymity of the internet makes you feel safe.
I always got POS when I was watching my kids. Parent on shoulder.
Yep. Parent over shoulder. Yep. You see that a lot? There's a whole list of them. And in fact, there's a list of them on one of the websites that we'll talk about in a little bit.
You know, they started bulletin boards when they had a feed of home bills.
That's right.
Yep.
So they would shorten everything up as much as they
could. Yeah, and back Western Union sending telegrams. You paid for every letter.
That's right. Discipline. If you can't control them any other way, yeah, discipline. Pull the modem. Unplug the network. They can still write papers. They can still get their homework done, mostly. They can't get online.
And if they sit there and say, you know, I got to be able to get to this website to get the information. There's one place that they probably haven't been to in quite a while.
My own library.
The library. You remember as kids having to pack up and go on down there and actually go through the car catalog and find the books. Uh-huh. And
oh, you got a new one. We can't do that.
I got to say my
plan. Yeah, right.
We had the Junior Britannica and we had the Full Britannica at home.
We had the Full Britannica.
And now you buy it all on a CD.
When I bought my house, I went to my father and said, you know, can I have my Britannicas back? Because they were in his. He wouldn't give them back. He was reading them. I'd read them all when I was a kid, and now he was reading them as an adult. He was having fun with them.
Was it Britannicas? Since their paper edition was several thousand dollars, they tried to charge that for the electronic edition when it came out. When Microsoft's Encarta is $20, you know, the, right. the all the other ones.
And now you can do it all online.
Yeah.
Pull the computer. Take it away from them. Take it away from them. Or just pull the keyboard. That's a lot easier than dragging a computer away. Take away the keyboard, they're not going to get a lot done. Hello. Or set a BIOS password. When you boot up your machine, there's something called, you see usually F2 to enter setup. Setup's technical term is BIOS, Basic Input Output System. Or, obviously, if you're into IM speak, are you bisexual or straight? But we mean it in terms of basic input output system. It's the setup program inside the computer. Almost every machine made in the last 10 years, you can set a BIOS password.
You'll see it when it comes up on the screen. It's usually on the right-hand side of the screen. You'll see the screen come up blue. It's divided in half. On the right-hand side, usually towards the top, it's setup password. And within there, you can set up administrative passwords for the machine to even get into the BIOS, or you can set up a BIOS password that when it first boots up.
Well, even before it boots, when it first powers on, before Windows even tries to load, it has a password.
You have to type that password on to do anything.
One of the tricks with Windows should we tell them tricks?
No.
One of the bypasses of Windows passwords is you just boot a different disk. And you can get into it. If there's a BIOS password, that computer will not turn on all the way without a password.
And don't forget that password.
Happy 34 Monkey.
Happy 34 Monkey. One of the things, and I might as well tell you folks about this too. We might as well do this too. There are two really easy ways to create a password that's difficult to forget. One way. One way is to just pick two words, possibly unrelated, but something you'll remember, and then stick a number between them. The other way is this. Now, what does that mean? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. How hard is that to remember? All you have to do is remember the phrase and type it in as you go.
Leo says Gurr. It's an older crowd. They probably know the old acronym.
Or the lazy...
your kids aren't going to know Roy G. Biv. They're just not going to know it. But the point is, you can create a fairly long password without a lot of thought. Any common phrase that you normally use, that sort of thing, you do. You can. I have seen people actually write the phrase down as part of a sentence on a pad of paper. Unless you know to find that phrase and know to use the first letters, it's fairly safe. I don't know that I would talk about that in my security course. But for home use, it's just a common phrase that you remembered. It doesn't have to be quite that long if you don't want it to be. But the longer it is, the harder it is to guess. And you put in that phrase, and you'll always remember it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Just type it in, you're done, and you're on your way. So it's fairly easy to set a password that's not common. You know, for God's sake, never use your kids' names, your dog's names, your birthday, your friends, the
password,
secret. Well, I once worked for a company that I won't name. I went in as a temp worker, and the first thing they did, the first day I was there, they introduced me around, blah blah blah. That took the whole morning, and then they said, "Now we want you to install this software on everybody's machine," and they all went off to lunch. I sat down at the first machine; they're all locked. Nobody gave me a password. Not one person gave me a password of any sort. So I sat there for a minute at the first desk. I lifted up the keyboard. Password. Got in. Installed the software. Next one, same thing, couple of them. I found every password but two. There were about 54 machines. I found all but two passwords. Either under the keyboard, pasted to the monitor. Some people had put them on a sticky note and stuck it inside the inside edge of a drawer like nobody's going to look there. Sometimes I would be sitting at a desk and I'd see like a picture, you know, to Honey Lamb from Pookie. Honey Lamb? Nope. Pookie? I'm in. One guy had a big, what?
Porsche?
Well, no, the TV show. X-Files. He had a big X-Files poster on his wall, and I went, trust no one, enter, I was in. Another guy had a Porsche 922 on his, a big, huge poster on his wall. And I typed in Porsche, nothing, Porsche 922, I was in. So you want, you know, a couple other people I could see, they had like, you know, football memorabilia, and I type in the quarterback, or they'd have baseball memorabilia, and I type in a pitcher, a catcher, or whatever. And every one of them but two I got in. Without any trouble whatsoever. So pick a password that's not, you know, obvious to anybody who's spent 6 minutes in your presence. I never saw most of these people. I was in all their machines.
Or they'll put the company name in.
And AAA is not a good password, just so you know. ZZZ, not much better.
Or 111.
Or 111. Or 12345. Not a good password.
Must be six characters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So set a password. That prevents kids from doing anything until you let them in.
Yeah,
yes.
The minute you turn it on, you'll normally when you turn on your computer, you'll see the cursor flashing up in the upper left-hand corner. It doesn't even get... Once it gets, you know, doing the check, bam, you'll get a thing right in the middle of the screen that says password.
See, the idea is when you turn on the machine, the first thing that happens is the BIOS does everything else. You've locked the BIOS. It can't even get anywhere else.
You go into the setup, the BIOS setup program.
He mentioned that. You go into BIOS, you give him the setup, F2 to enter setup or Dell to enter setup. You'll see that when it's booting.
You usually see it at the bottom of the screen.
Well, not necessarily. A lot of OEMs now put their own corporate logo in front of the screen. So it says Compaq.
Can't see it.
Hit escape. And then you see the text screen behind it where it says press F12 to enter setup.
Right, but it's some key sequence to let you enter setup. And then on one of those screens, usually the first one or the second one, it will say setup password or BIOS password.
If you own
that's
a
where
Dell,
you put the password.
I can tell you right now it's F2. If you own an HP, it's usually F1 or the delete key.
Compaq is F10.
F10 for the Compaq, but they've been taken over by HP.
We had some old Dells that were control escape. That took forever to find.
Yeah. But this is that's the sort of thing you can do.
Are either F1, F2, or delete key.
We'll go for a little while and take another quick break, but it'll be quick.
But be careful what you do in there. Remember, though, if you set that password, be careful. Just don't quick type. Make sure when you're typing it, you're hitting the letters that you want. Because if you mess it up, then you get to see me. Because I have the power to reset it. But I got to literally take the box open to reset it.
You just put a battery, right?
Well, there's a number of them are the battery, but a lot safer way and easier way is there's a jumper switch. You got to sit there and jump it.
And that battery takes 25 minutes to...
Yeah, you got
to
let it.
And it's a different position on every motherboard.
Right.
Why don't we take one more quick break, only really quick this time. As opposed to taking this opportunity to everybody to stand in line and ask us questions, might just all get something to eat and drink, and then we'll start again. And then we'll get done at a semi-reasonable hour. We're pretty close to done anyway. Well, yeah.
Nick.
Yeah.
This.
Mark.
Hi, Mark. Nice to meet you. You're the fake Mark Zuckerberg.
He's the right.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. Let me just say I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
Right, you're the one in the forums.
Yep.
He's
yeah,
not.
He's, yeah. Yeah, he bugs you all the time.
Right.
Oh,
okay. Right. Right.
All right.
AskNick.com.
That's right. Somebody wanted to know about one subscribe.
That's right. They should talk about that. You're right. Thank you. I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
On the website.
Oh.
Yeah.
When do you want me to bring up wireless?
Next session. Bring it up anytime.
Okay. My son was
went to Google last night,
mm-hmm.
and then to satellite, and then to maps, and mm-hmm. they could see it from the vehicle and get in the
yeah, yeah. yeah.
Pictures, and pictures from empty
cars. I was never aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm taping the whole thing because I can never remember what these guys say. What's in there?
Yeah, they got that in the folder. I've got some extra ones over there under the picture there somewhere.
Thank you.
Me either.
Gross.
What your needs might be versus, say, somebody else that wants to get into graphic editing and that kind of stuff.
329. It's the end of that will get your attention. All right.
Your lights are on in the parking lot.
Your lights are on in the parking lot. And you're... Okay. Software. This is where we talk about, well, the software. I'm going to sit for a minute if you folks don't mind.
No, we're running
my out. Joints are killing me. Does it have the little tray so I don't spill?
No.
No, I'm good. Thanks. I'm all right. Let's talk a little bit about some of the software that's available. First, of course, there's the Security Tango, which is a website that I set up in order to make it easy for folks. We were answering this question over and over and over and over, and frankly, I just got sick of it. If you go to Let's Dance, you will have to wait, and then we're putting all these on a new server at some point. The generous folks at, well, Frontier, a citizens communications company, were gracious enough to give us space in their data center, so we're going to put our machines in there.
Nice.
Well, we haven't got the machine yet, but that's coming. And then hopefully everything will be a lot faster and a lot bigger, and we'll have all the space that I'm willing to pay for and all the bandwidth that Frontier is willing to give us. So hopefully things will be nice and fast at some point. And I'm putting ASNIC there, too. But at any rate, here's the thing. And it's fairly lengthy. I actually have to make some changes, but it is lengthy. There's no easy, fast way to do this and make sure your machine is safe. I'm sorry, if you buy a Mac or you buy Linux, you don't have to do this.
Stop using Windows is the easiest way.
Is the easiest way. But there's a bunch of stuff here. You can print this out and follow it along. There's 6 steps. Absolutely follow all the steps. Do not skip any. I'm constantly getting email or phone calls from people. Well, I did the Security Tango, it didn't work. Now, my next question now is always, which step did you skip? Well, I didn't understand 3. So definitely do that. If one of the steps, you download all the software to your machine. Those of you who are still on dial-up should be on DSL, but those of you who are still on dial-up and don't want to actually go through all the trouble of downloading all that stuff.
There's a new $9.99 DSL package.
That's right. You should be on DSL. But until you're on DSL, you can get the CD from Dave. Dave has graciously consented to make CDs and give them to people. So you can do that. And of course, while you're waiting for it to show up, you can read my security blog. I'm now blogging about security.
What's the CD?
Get the CD.
What is it?
Oh, it's got all the Security Tango stuff on it, and a bunch of other shareware.
Yeah, in case you
freeware.
We've been lately. Past month, a lot of folks are having trouble downloading all the program and getting them. So I came up with a way that, I charge a nominal fee, but what I do is I go into every of the websites. I've got 10 plus programs on there, all the ones that are required by the Security Tango, along with the updated definitions. So for like Adware and SpyBot, both of those, the latest updated program is always there along with the definition. Before I even burn a CD, each time I go to each one of those websites and check for it. And I put some other utilities that I found very useful for folks to use. There's one on there, it's called RoboForm. Nick was talking about creating unique passwords. RoboForm will let you set up all your information and generate unique passwords for each different website that you want to go to.
Now, that's not going to help you for a BIOS password or any of that stuff, but for every place else it will. And it's real simple. Fill out the form. The first thing is decide, are you going to stop by Dave's place and pick it up, or do you want it mailed to him? And then you fill out the form and send it on its way, and wonderful things happen. And then
secure site?
That's only good for.
It was until this morning, and it will be again.
But then
I was playing with getting this ready to move to the new machine, and I screwed everything up. No, you're absolutely right, and I will fix that.
When you're typing in personal information like that, credit card information, when you're buying stuff on the internet, people ask us, is it safe to buy things on the internet? It's a lot safer than handing your credit card to a waiter who disappears for half an hour.
Every day, we hand our credit cards to the lowest paid employees in America and think nothing of it. But God forbid you get online and say, oh my God, somebody's going to steal my stuff. I once went and bought gas at one of those places that's like 700 pumps looking out off into the distance. And it was a blizzard. And I fought my way through this blizzard to this place, and there was this shadowy figure behind glass, and I passed my credit card in and it came back to me. I have no idea who that was. And how many times do you put you're in a restaurant, you put the credit card down, and a different waiter picks it up and takes it away. And you don't think, who the hell are you? You think, oh, they walked through the restaurant, they must work here.
I like the valet parking scam. Go to some party, valet parking, oh, cool. I don't have valet parking.
Yeah right. but we don't think anything of that, and yet, you get on a line, the website says, where you went to that website, it says it's secure, you got the lock,
show the lock.
Is that okay? Yeah, I have to figure out a site that does, oh, I know.
There's two ways.
Right.
Yeah, Discover. That's
there's two ways to know you're on a secure site.
This is the old one.
HTTPS.
Right. Yeah. That's
right.
As soon as it gets there.
Yeah. As soon as it gets there.
Go to the.
Go where?
CNBank.com.
What?
CN Bank. Most banking companies. And then hit online login. So you start out at a regular one. Go to online login. So now the top will change to HTTPS. And on Firefox, little padlock symbol. Somewhere in your browser, there will be a little padlock symbol. And that helps.
There's also one down here.
Does it always have to be yellow up there?
If you're on Firefox, the actual address space turns yellow as well.
Okay.
But you'll get a padlock up here on Firefox and down here, and on Internet Explorer, you'll just see one down here.
Okay.
Actually, I think Internet Explorer is over here. But that's how that works. And
actually,
the S
is more important because there's a couple of Trojans that mimic that lock symbol.
Right. You look for that S.
So as long as you have HTTPS,
right.
You're safe.
Secure.
Okay.
Right.
That's good to know.
But sometimes it's just the submit button that sends it securely.
Right. Right, and that's actually what happens at Ask Nick.
Right. But I don't want to think you can be on a regular site. But
when
it's transmitted, when you hit the submit, then it
goes through
secure.
A secure.
Like if you notice on yahoo.com, they've changed their sign-ins now to be secure after you hit the submit.
Right. But unless you know that, don't trust it.
Right. Right.
Right.
Even then, that waiter might be.
That's right. You never know where that waiter's sitting.
It used to be the easiest thing for stealing identities and credit cards was dumpster diving behind a restaurant.
It still is. Here's the other thing. If I steal your identity, if I steal your credit card number on the internet, who are you? How much money do you have? But if I go behind a real fancy restaurant, 10 minutes with a pair of Playtex rubber gloves and diving in the dumpster, I'm getting, these people went out and paid $500 for a meal. They got to have bucks somewhere. So, we already talked about those, and let's talk about the rest of the software. On the sheet I gave you, Steve, would you hand me one of those sheets, please? I talked about a couple of different things.
Anyone not have one of the extra handouts?
Sure. I'll take some, Steve.
Let's start with the educational sites. There's a bunch of places that have real nice things in them for education. Here's how to use the internet, sites on various subjects. So if your kids are looking for places to go to see things, to read about stuff for homework and things like that, that can help you, please. can help you. The Info Please Encyclopedia is a pretty neat spot. Again, it does a lot of the same places. It has a dictionary, it has a thesaurus, it has an atlas, it has almanacs, it has the encyclopedia, all the stuff that we used to have to go to the library. Now it's just click, 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 and there you are. Get Ready to Read for very young kids. Great site for helping you teach your kids to read. And, oh, by the way, when you're sitting at this site with your kid on your lap, there's no better feeling in the whole world.
Starfall.com.
Where?
Starfall.com.
Yes, yes, it is, actually. Yep. Starfall.com is another one. Great place. I didn't put that in here, but it's another great one. Yep, yep. Teachers and families. We'll talk to you about, you know, here is a little bit of everything, preschool, K-12 parents, a little bit of everything for everybody.
Help Katrina victims. We're still running into scams. 2,000 URLs popped up, Save Katrina or Donate Katrina. They're all scams. Or donate to someone you know.
Yeah, go to redcross.com and donate there. If you're homeschooling, even if you're not homeschooling, there's a lot of interesting stuff here. And the same thing that was the Starfall, right. Fun sites, I'm not going to bother to go to those. The research sites, there are places where you can do a lot of good research. Google, everybody knows about Google. You go to Google and type in anything, and you get 700 billion sites.
Another one that's coming up very good, too, is ask.com.
Right.
Ask.com will then... they updated that. It used to be Ask Jeeves. It's now ask.com. And what it'll do is on the listing, you'll see a pair of binoculars. So that when you click on the binoculars, you'll see what the website is going to look like before you even go.
Yep. Another great... Yes.
I had a question.
Yes.
Now that was good, but on the other hand, I would clear that up.
That's an autofill. That's autofill list, I think.
Save yeah.
Form information.
Yeah.
Right. If you stop saving the form information, you don't save that. In the tools. Tools options. I'm not running Internet Explorer, but under in my case preferences. There are places you can do that. You have to go under options, preferences, do it in
the browser.
Is either autofill or forms manager,
yeah.
Autocomplete.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you hit the triangle by the G, it'll drop everything down, the previous searches, and then the last line is clear all the
Well, that's up on the right hand side.
Right.
Oh, up here, yeah.
Yeah, no, you were there a minute ago.
The other right?
Drop down menu. To the right of the address.
Come
in the
on.
Address bar.
Oh, in the air? Yes, that's
yeah.
Where I was.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were pointing somewhere
all
else.
All the way down to the bottom.
No, you
don't have it.
I don't
so
have
one
it.
To the right now. You have a search bar next to the address bar.
Oh, yeah.
Search bar
oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I see what you're
click
saying.
On that one.
Yeah.
And actually, if you right-click in it.
Yep. Well, the other thing that you can do, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but in Firefox, at least, I can say Google DSL, and up comes a Google search. You can say Google something. You don't even have to go to Google first.
Oh, really?
Why would I lie about that? No, yes, 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 really. So, and that'll take you right to a Google search. So if you know about Google.
Well, pull down preferences in here, so parental phrases in there.
Pardon?
In preferences, parental phrases.
Under here, if you're signed in, which you can do, you can pick certain choices about search filtering. You can use strict filtering, which means the text and language, moderate filtering, or do not filter my search results, the number that you display at one time, the languages that you allow. For example, I frankly do not need any website in Croatian.
There was actually a big mess on Google, in fact, still going on. Google has bowed to governmental pressure, and in China they censor searches. So if you go to Google and type Tiananmen Square, you see all the stuff about the uprising. You go to Google China, type Tiananmen Square, you see what a great park it is and all the cultural things you can go to.
Right. So you can change the language, and there are a lot of them.
Dublin Buddies.
Yep. So you can change the language. I can decide I only want to see pages in English. I can decide, oh, I need to use strict filtering or moderate filtering or no filtering. You normally get 10 results to a page. You can have more if you like, or fewer. I guess you can type in any number you want. And you can say, oh, anytime I click, I want to open that in a new browser window. Or if you're using the newest version of Firefox, you can tell Firefox that anytime somebody opens a new window, it really opens a new tab. So you can do all of that. And then you can save your preferences. And when you save your preferences, it saves in a cookie. And now I will always have that. So there's a lot of neat things you can do there, but you can set that search preference. Where's now, assuming your kids don't know about that, what?
Frontier's got a spacer from advertising here.
Yeah, I know. but if you need to, and actually, we can help you guys with that. We do a search engine optimization guy. I know that's terrific at this. But if your kids know how to change
well,
that,
actually,
they can.
Well, let's back up
that.
A second. These are sponsored links. These companies paid to be there. So. Right. You may want to go there, you may not want to go there. You may want to go
it
to the
generic. But the good thing is Google doesn't hide that. They tell you they're sponsored links. So that's nice. Another great site, if you're looking for information, write a paper, whatever, Wikipedia. That's listed on the page here. It's the Galactic Encyclopedia. It's everything that you would want. This is. I will now show you the single most addictive thing on the internet: random article at Wikipedia.
A million articles. The main neat thing about the Wikipedia is it's user-driven. People add their own comments to it. And there was just a study a few months ago about the Wikipedia versus Encyclopedia Britannica, and they both were pretty much accurate. They got the same accuracy ratings.
But if anybody can go in and change the articles in that,
someone else will come along and say, no, that's wrong, and delete it.
They have a million people looking at every article every day, and if you go in and write something that's incorrect, someone will fix it behind you.
You're notified. If you sign in, you can be notified of any change on that page if
right.
you write to it or if you subscribe to it. So if anybody wants to put in their facts that they know are facts, if anybody goes in and changes it later, they're going to be notified that the page is.
And all of the little blue buttons along the way are also links. So everything in that document is linked to other documents explaining what your explanation is.
Huh. But you wouldn't really know that what's on there is true. I mean, someone could have changed it. Maybe it'll get changed back later. But at the minute you look at it, it could be not accurate. Is that
look at the history. You can look at the history.
Right yeah, you can look. If I click here to history.
Now you'll see different people have changed different things.
Right, and you can look back at them.
Bless you.
And see what they did.
Yes.
Right, and see what they did. And yes, it is certainly true that not everything is right all the time, but it's 99%
accurate. Well, it's the same thing they noticed with Encyclopedia Britannica, that was 2% in error. They look up a random article, that's wrong. Because there's some guy wrote that article in Britannica. He's not any more wrong than a million people writing for this.
Yeah, basically they did a thing and they discovered they're both just about equally accurate. Now, for example, you know, somebody could go in and say, oh yeah, Alexandria and the Indus, we know it's Alexandria Bucephalus. Alexander the Great's horse was named Bucephalus. He died after the Battle of Hydaspes in 326 BC. I happen to know that Bucephalus, his horse, was absolutely fearless. It was only afraid of one thing, its own shadow. So Alexander always had to charge into the sun so that the shadow was behind the horse. Now, I could add that here. And if somebody else thought that was so much bourgeois, they could go in and change that. But then 100,000 people who do know that story would go in and fix it again.
Right there, see if it's already there.
Right. We'll take a look at Bucephalus and see if that's in there.
There's his picture.
There's the horse's name.
Rearing in his shadow.
That's right. He sees his shadow and he's... I don't know if there's anything in here.
Search for shadow.
There it is.
There he is. There's he go. So there it is. And then there's the online. Then there are a couple of online encyclopedias, including the Britannica. What? That's right, 100 minutes. Now, this lady was nodding her head. Either she's falling asleep or she knew this. I'm not taking any bets. See, she's falling asleep. And Card is another place where you can get information. There's also whatis.com.
That's a good one.
Whatis.com is great for tech people. You can put in any technical term, and it will bring back the meaning of that term. So, for example, I have no idea what DSL stands for, and I can type that in, and it will come back eventually at some point in the not-too-distant future, and it will tell me what DSL stands for.
Scroll up. You're down a little.
Oh, I went too far down? Yeah. All right. Yeah,
so you can put an error message in there?
Well, no, this is strictly
that you can do with Google. Google an error message, and you'll find Microsoft Knowledge Base articles. You'll find people describing that error message.
Talking about it, maybe how to correct it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's in there all over the place. So that's, yeah, but I just go to Google for those kind of things. Another thing that we looked at, the safety sites for kids online. A lot of these sites will have the same kinds of things that we told you. I'm not going to go through them in any kind of a detail, but all of these sites have good stuff for kids. Here's great rules for kids. There are schools that actually use these rules. And like the kids sign them, they have a safety class in the school. Kids sign these rules and they take them home and paste them next to the computer so they know this stuff.
Can you say a little something about the MySpace?
Sure.
Don't use it.
A lot of people might have known.
There's a lot of different websites that have popped up for people to put
forbidden.
Their...
Oh, excuse me. Right. Beg your pardon.
Yeah, because we're on Frontier.
Okay.
So you're gonna get a nasty notice in your email from your boss, from you,
hey,
probably,
I'm
right?
Wait a minute, hold on, okay.
But there's a lot of websites that have popped up for people creating their own websites. So blogging is a big thing now. A weblog where you're typing your online diary. Flickr is big for adding photographs. So a lot of people created this MySpace community intended for people to put up pictures and things about themselves. And there's a big case in the news recently where, how old was he at the time? 11 or 12?
11 or 12, yeah.
Got into MySpace and was solicited by other people.
Oh, Justin?
To do sexual things on MySpace and post pictures of himself on MySpace. So it's a virtual community, and just like the real community, there's good parts and there's bad parts. So a lot of the MySpace articles and sites are fine, but this specific kid got really caught up into this, and he was testifying before Congress and
Senate House.
Yeah, and how easy it was and what a lure it was to get into it.
Well, that all goes back to, again, when we said get the computer out of the room. I've been an advocate of this on the show for over 12 years telling parents to get it out of their room. I know it's convenient that Danny or Mary might be in the room and they're being quiet and being good and they're not.
A lot of parents, and I understand, I truly understand the pressures of being a parent in this day and age. Believe me, I understand. But you can't use it as a babysitter. You just cannot.
Because, like I said, just this stuff. Yeah. And again, sometimes, you know, and again, it's not your child. You know, you're trying to protect them.
You would never invite a stranger into your home to babysit your child while you went away. 99% of the people on the internet are strangers to you. Why would you let them babysit your kids?
Like I said, I had a friend, and their 16-year-old daughter was IMing person. And thought it'd be a 17-year-old person at the time. And this went on for about a year, year and a half. And finally, they came home one day from work. Daughter's not around. They went to check the room. I thought maybe she'd be with a few friends. And they called me over because they had their suspicions. we went into it, and sure enough, tracked this guy down, and through backtracking, found out that this guy was in Spokane, Washington. And now here, she's 17 years old, he is 18 years old.
At least he was only 18.
Yeah, but again, I hate to say it though, this is now 4.5 years later, and she's still out there, not in very good shape, got messed up with some bad stuff as far as drugs and everything else. And these parents, because they didn't realize what was going on, again, she had the computer in the room, and maybe could have prevented this, but they've lost effectively a daughter. She doesn't call, doesn't write, they just know where she is through some other friends.
But for you folks, Safe Teens, bunch of these sites, pretty neat stuff. Places to go to talk to your kids, places to go for you. You know, most of these sites have a parent's place. You don't even have to wait to talk to your kids. Go here, learn about this stuff, learn about what you can do, and
to
get
them,
the tips.
Teach you how to handle some situations and how to deal with it and approach them. You might be even intimidated to even approach a kid.
Here's one about blogging.
Blogging is basically a diary. And people used to keep their diaries private and locked up, you know, under their mattress.
Right.
Now it's on the internet for anyone to read.
Right. My blog is not that. My blog is about security, so.
Go to fake security, or stupidsecurity.com.
Stupidsecurity.com, exactly right. And then the other stuff, software. And we've already actually looked at all of those, so those are the sites that you can go to find stuff for...
Go to
Sure.
Well, actually, does anyone not know of Soundbites?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. How many folks listen to us on Sundays? How many folks even know that we did a radio show?
I didn't know.
We've been doing a radio show now over 16 years, Nick, Steve, and I. We started out on WXXI originally. Now we're on WHAM, coming into, what, our fifth year this December 1st. And we do a show every Sunday from 11 to 1. We're there to answer your computer questions. We also have the bulletin board. And if you folks, you know, you run into different questions or concerns, that, you know, maybe
forums.
You can't get a hold of us, highly recommend signing into our forum. We've got a great group of folks out there in the community.
Some of you are here. I'm not going to out you in public, but there are a number of you who are here. And
there's great support there, too. You can ask a computer question. We've got all kinds of categories, whether it be Windows, Mac, Linux. You can post a question there, and you'd be surprised the amount of folks that will jump right back in there, usually within that day, to help you with your computer questions.
Go to the sound archive for a minute. Let's let's find one of the other Frontier things we've done.
Well, actually... if you go to links, there's a bunch of stuff in here, including the archives, number one on the list. I finally numbered the list. How many years did that take me?
Good thing, sick.
To suddenly realize, wait, a number would be better. But you can go into the archives. We have a separate server, and eventually these will all be part of the one server. Here are our friends who helped us pay for this server.
Well,
and we have a bunch of...
Look for that Wednesday thing. Somebody
yeah, one that doesn't say Sunday.
Well, I'm looking.
There's one. Wednesday, August 17th.
Right. There's a Tuesday and a Thursday. There were a couple more that we did. So you can download those in any way that you want, and you can take a look at one. There's a Monday.
Steve's podcasts
Monday.
Are the best.
Steve makes great podcasts.
Everyone familiar with podcasting? It's like syndicated radio for your computer. Except it's cooler because it happens automatically. You can subscribe to a podcast, and any time that other end puts a new show up, it downloads to your computer automatically. Originally, it was designed by Adam Curry from MTV. You probably don't know him either. From MTV. So you download it to your computer and then into your iPod, so when you're on the go, you can listen to it. It doesn't have to be an iPod. It can be any player. Play it right on your computer. So whenever that show gets updated, whenever a new episode is uploaded, it automatically downloads into your computer, so you don't have to wait for it. And I've been too nice to the Soundbites people. I've been uploading it Sunday afternoon.
I know.
I know. This
week,
Monday night, I wasn't there.
Yeah, this week I was doing an Adobe seminar down at RIT on Monday night, so I didn't get a chance to upload it, and they're flailing me in the forums.
Sure.
I've been too nice.
We're not going to pay you anymore if you don't.
You know what? I said to a friend of mine, I says, well, he did an Apple seminar on Monday night. Give him a break.
Yeah.
So many places, many of the blogs do the same thing. You'll often find a button somewhat like this. Or if you're on Firefox, you'll see a symbol like this, either down here or up here. And that will let you add this sort of thing. So every time that blog gets updated, it now shows up in your list.
So a lot of the national radio shows and the news shows will have podcasts automatically download, you know, the latest headlines or whatnot.
Also, it has the live link that if you want to listen to us streaming, you can just click on it and minimize it.
So if you're somewhere,
listen to the show in the background. Matter of fact, we had a gentleman just 3 weeks ago call us from
China.
Beijing, China.
So if you're at a place where you can't get the WHAM radio signal, you can listen to it through the internet.
You need a program to use that RSS?
Yes.
Yes and no. Firefox will do it automatically. So, for example, let me go back to it again. If I go to this thing, if I go to my blog, for example, and I say, oh, I want that RSS feed, I can click here. I think I just clicked on Steve's page.
Good job. He's Dave.
It's a good job. Yeah, one of them. I can now subscribe to this blog. Right, and it's good. I can put it wherever I want, and let's say I don't think I have a news thing anywhere, do I? RSS list. There we go. I have an RSS list.
Can't see the OK button.
I can't see the OK button because this thing is all screwed up. Let me just hit enter. Now, if I go down to my RSS list and look at Security Tango, there's all of the last five entries. So I just click on one, and it actually brings up the page with the whole thing in it. I can do that from the blog itself by clicking on read the entire story, and up it comes. Or, again, I can pick it right out of now my RSS list. I've kind of hidden it away in here. But
so blogs are not podcasts.
Blogs are text.
Okay.
But a lot of blogs get podcast. You can have an audio blog that you podcast or a video blog that you podcast and then download and watch on your computer.
Right.
Now, does Firefox put the count in your toolbar? One of the neat things with Safari is if you have an RSS in your toolbar, it tells you automatically when there's new articles there.
I can Firefox download an extension and do that.
Yeah. Okay.
But it doesn't do it automatically by itself. Now, the same thing with the podcast, what you just saw me do with the other thing, I can do the same thing with the podcast here. I don't have it set up to do that, but it's possible to do.
We got to do another segue here for a second.
Well, yeah, with the common program for podcasting is iTunes, and from the iTunes Music Store, you can find the thousands of podcasts available, most of which are free.
How many folks drink coffee? Good, you can help me out.
Yeah, we need help.
It'd be really nice if when you clicked on that button.
Nick's lovely wife runs a coffee shop at the public market. And I've been asking her, Nick has been begging her.
We're begging her.
To do up a list of all the coffee that she has. Every week I get my coffee from Nick. He brings it in and I usually have to email her and all that. And I keep trying to tell her, get a list. So I could just check it off and email it to you.
How hard is that? But she hasn't, and I'm leaving it up. She's got to at least give me the list. I'll do all the work. She's got
to
give me the list.
It's
her coffee shop.
And tell her to get the list up.
Everybody, Elaine at thebeanqueen.com. Everybody email her, tell her to get the stinking list up.
It'd be really
Elaine
nice
at thebeanqueen.com.
It'd be really nice if we knew what kind of coffee you sold. Every two or three times a week, my wife asks me, well, when you see Nick on Sunday, ask him to bring me some coffee. What do you want? I don't know. What does she have?
Yep. All I want her to do is put the list. I can put the list up, little check boxes, send it to her just with your name. I'll pick it up at the market, whatever it is.
Elaine at thebeanqueen.com. Tell her to get the
just
list
tell
up
her, get
online.
The list up.
I think she might suspect.
I don't care. We've been
all these Frontier things
we
going on.
Yeah, we don't care. We don't care.
Yeah. We're resorting to you, folks.
Any
questions?
Quick overview on what wireless is.
Wireless. Wireless is something I can't get here.
I've got it. Because I have a Mac.
No.
I don't have any utilities loaded on this thing. Basically, wireless is the same thing. Now I'm getting my internet connection through this wire. Simple enough. You can do it over radio. You can get a wireless connection to do that.
So you don't have to string a wire across your house.
That's nice. You're still stuck with a power cord.
Well, I have a laptop. I can unplug the power for a while.
But one of the things that you gain is that freedom to move around. One of the things you lose is security. If you have a wireless setup and it's not secured, anyone with a laptop can find that signal, as Steve did, and get on the internet that way. You may think, who cares?
Well, because it runs about 150 feet. Your neighbors, anyone driving by in a car, across the street.
If I park in your driveway and grab your signal and download kiddie porn, who's going to get tracked, me or you? You're the one who's going to have to prove you didn't download it.
And this has happened and people have been arrested.
So if you secure it, and that happens at the wireless modem, at the router, you can get into the router using your web interface. If you look in the manual, you'll be able to get into the router and you'll be able to set certain things up. You can set up a password or a key or whatever, and then you go into your laptop and put that same key in. Now you can get in, but anybody who doesn't know the key can't get in.
It used to be when wireless first came out, it was wide open, very easy for a novice user to get into, which also made it very easy for someone else to get into wrongly. So now most of the wireless routers you buy come with a setup wizard that walks you through setting a password and encrypting your data.
Why wouldn't people set up that wizard? Like I was
The question is, why wouldn't they use the wizard? Many people don't know, they don't think about it, or they think, what's the harm?
Because I sat in a condo of the winter, mm-hmm. with one of these with the card in it.
Yep.
And it says, you are tied into the net. Oh, I am?
Yep.
Somebody in the next condo, yeah.
And for 3 months, I was on the web.
I actually had a guy
nice
come
fast in.
God bless you. You win.
I had a guy come into
you
my.
You say it's not secure. Are you saying that what
I
am doing.
Right. You're not secure either. Okay. I can run a program on this machine, and this is my security machine. I do it all the time. I can run a program on this machine that will capture every packet going through the air.
Wow.
And I can then recreate your setup. So for example, if you log on to your email and the email connection is not secured, encrypted, I get your password.
Which most aren't.
I get your username and password.
I write a check through my bank.
If it's
pay
not
a bill.
Secure,
pay a bill.
If it's not secure, I get that information.
Usually banks are.
No. Usually banks are.
How would a person using a wireless router going to know if someone in the next condo is accessing a wireless?
Every wireless router has a list on it of who's connected.
But you have to log into your router and look.
And if you're smart enough to log into the router and look, technically you're smart enough to password your router.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons we like.
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the other brands. We sell the Linksys brand in my store. And it's got a big sticker over the back of the router, so you can't plug anything in. Run the CD first. And the CD walks you through the wizard of setting a password on it.
You can also check just by watching the light blinking.
No.
As long as you're not on, right?
Not really.
Not necessarily.
Here's an experiment. Turn your computer off. Look at your DSL router. Those lights will blink away.
Yeah.
Every time it blinks, someone on the internet is trying to break into your computer.
Or it's trying to send you mail or whatever is happening. But the point is, you can't tell.
Can't tell. I have an add-on question. I have a Palm Pilot that I can get on Wi-Fi. I can get on the internet. I can go to my computer. So
sure.
Do I need antivirus for that Palm Pilot?
Now you do. There are a couple of Palm viruses out there.
Yeah,
there are Bluetooth viruses for your cell phone.
Someone can steal your address book out of your cell phone.
I have a great program on here, and I am not running it now. You are all safe. But I have a great program on here somewhere.
Chat sniff, let's just saw.
There it is, Bluetooth Manager, Bluetooth File Sharing. I can use this program, and I've got a couple of command line only Bluetooth program, where I can suck your Bluetooth stuff out of your phone.
I'll turn my Bluetooth on, and you can find my computer.
I don't have my Bluetooth installed here.
I'll turn my Bluetooth off.
So a lot of people, I did this sitting in RIT, in the College of Business one day. People just walking by with their little Bluetooth phones turned on. I had their phone books. I had their notes. I had everything they put in their phone. Sucked it all into my computer in the time it took them to walk across something about 3/4 the size of this and turn the corner. I had it all. I was just sucking it all in. Because I was going to show my class this stuff. And about 10 minutes into it, I got scared. I had people's passwords, because you can put, you know, people save notes. Yeah. I had passwords. I had bank
pin numbers
and bank account numbers. I had all kinds of stuff. I had people that saved text messages that really I probably shouldn't have been seeing. probably shouldn't have been. Too much information about some people. I found out things I didn't even want to know. I was sucking pictures out of those phones. There are some pictures people shouldn't keep in their phones. Let me just say that right now. They really shouldn't keep them in the phones. They should not take them to begin with, but if they're going to take them, don't keep them in the phone, because I have them now.
Can you encrypt phone information in the phone?
What?
Can you encrypt the information?
Depends on the phone, doesn't it? Some phones don't allow you to do anything with your Bluetooth. It's just on, too bad.
Yep.
Some of them let you turn it on and off. Some of them let you slave the Bluetooth and the earpiece. There was somebody sitting over here with a Bluetooth earpiece on. Some of them, you have to set it up so that it will only talk to this. Okay? That's the way you want it. Then it's not promiscuous. It's not just spewing that data out to anybody who asks for it.
Well, that was, again, the thing in the beginning. It's a process called discoverable. Every Bluetooth device, when it came out, was discoverable. So your computer can find your mouse. Your phone can find your headset. I can find your headset, too, and use it. So I can make long-distance phone calls for free. So in the interim time, now all Bluetooth devices come with discovery turned off. So you have to go in, turn discovery on, pair your device, and then it turns discovery off again. So it's, again, it was initially made very, very easy for the average folks, which also made it very, very easy for the criminals to get in. So that they've made it harder for average people to make it more secure and protect them. And I see right now no one has a Bluetooth device broadcasting. Yeah.
The people with Bluetooth phones were quietly going.
But I do have 4 wireless networks, 2 of which are unsecure.
What?
I'm wireless. Can you be in your automobile and transmit information to
you? Absolutely.
The standard Wi-Fi that you have in your computer has about 150-foot range from your base station. It's kind of like a portable phone. You have a base station plugged into the wall somewhere, and your portable phone can go,
Do you need a router for this?
Yes. The base station, router, wireless access point, they have a bunch of different names. A little something with an antenna on it. The basic home routers have a range of about 150 feet. There are broadband routers. Verizon sells them. I don't think Frontier does yet. Where it's a Wi-Fi card that uses the cell network. So laptop users are buying these a lot now so that you don't have to use your cell phone. It's a broadband connection using the cellular network with a 2 or 3 mile range, just like your cell phone is. So you don't have to be within 100 feet of your base station. You're within a couple of miles of a tower.
This is wardriving.com. It's all about driving around and finding open networks. The guy behind is Fred Owsley. I'm both honored and ashamed to say he was one of my students at RIT. Worked for me. But people do this all the time. And
in most cases, it's illegal. You are tapping into someone's network without their permission. You're taking bandwidth away from them. which is generally illegal. We had someone arguing on the radio, well, their router let me in, so that was permission.
Oh,
no.
Stupid.
And for most of your
the analogy there is, it's okay if I steal your tires because you didn't have locks on the lugs.
And if
Dave, I don't think it's okay.
Dave used to have a parrot in his office. If I knock on the door and his parrot says come in, that's okay to go in and take your stuff.
He did, too.
He would, too.
Sit there and make the door chime, too. He drove me nuts. Couple
oh, yep, someone turned on a Motorola phone.
No, I turned on a Palm
Pilot. No, nope, there's, there's a Motorola phone on.
Yeah,
I can see it.
It
yep. Everyone reaches for their phones to turn
is
off
that,
Discovery.
Is that protected or unprotected? That's what I'm wondering.
Unprotected. Unless the network asks for a password when you log in. So, right, there's four wireless networks, brought, did you know, at the moment. Two don't have a password, and two do.
Yeah,
so I'm on an open.
When I came in, like I said, I just am resetting the system up. I don't even have half the tools on here yet. But I connected through this, and it asked for a username and password, and Andy had to come over and give me his username and password, which is why, you know, I could try to go to wherever that was.
That now, did that letter go out to corporate that you typed?
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, I'm gonna be sending
that,
my boss is a moron.com.
So
I'll bet that's a real site.
It becomes an issue at public coffee spots and the public bars and restaurants you go to that have wireless. Don't do anything you wouldn't want someone looking over your shoulder watching.
Right.
So don't necessarily log into your bank, log into your email. If you're just going to do web surfing, who cares if someone saw you went to Google?
Here is a program called Ethereal. It labels itself as a network traffic analyzer. What it does is takes every packet going over the internet and saves it in a file on my system. So I can go and look at anything anybody sends over the internet. And I've done that, again, in my class. I'm capturing things, and then I have to be very careful to look at stuff during the break because, you know, kids are transmitting private information because they're idiots over the internet, and pick out a few quietly semi-embarrassing but not really secret things to show them during class to say, look at what you did. So if you're not encrypted, that I can do that. I can suck up everything. I could suck up everything coming over this wire now, but I'm not going to bother because I know that these guys have protected their network. Unless this is some sort of test network you've been setting up to do stuff. And besides which, it's 9 o'clock at night. There's nobody here anyway doing anything. But we're almost done anyway. But it's important. This is a free program. It's available for Windows. It's available for Linux. It's available for the Mac, I think. Anybody can download this program, sit in your driveway, and capture all your data.
Sit in your neighbor's driveway, capture your data, because it's 150 feet.
Right.
What's the name of the program?
It's called Ethereal. E-T-H-E-A-R-E-L. E-T-H-E-R-E-A-L. Ethereal.
Ethereal.
Ethereal, yeah. And
flying through the ether.
Yeah. And basically you can suck all this stuff up. I use this legitimately at work all the time. I sniff my network. I'm the system administrator. That's my job. And I have all these filters that then go through the thing and look, because, you know, you guys have it easy. I'm at RIT. It's academic freedom. We don't block anything. We don't prevent anybody. So I spent all day long chasing down morons who think they can break into my network. In fact, that happened one night. I got to say, yeah, it's a great story. I'm teaching my class, right? And I'm showing them Ethereal, right? And so I'm saying, and here's what's going on. And look, I can go look at my labs. And, oh, look, someone's trying to break into one of my servers. We'll take a break now. And I went downstairs with my cane, and I knew which computer it was. So I went downstairs. The kid was still at the computer. I went to him, and I grabbed him, and I held the cane over his head and said, if you touch one more key on that keyboard trying to break into my network, I'm going to kill you where you sit. And he looked at me, how did you know? I'm the system administrator.
Or your one movie, one time.
Right. We had a guy. This is something else to be careful of.
It used to be big news when the FBI showed up at RIT and confiscated someone's computer.
Right, now it's like a daily thing. You need to be careful. Don't laugh. You need to be careful what your kids download. People are being sued. I'm sitting at my desk one day. I get an email from Warner Brothers. And I think, at last, recognition. Well, it turns out to be from the head of the legal department. And they're suing me for downloading a movie. Well, I didn't panic because I didn't download any movies. But every laptop, every desktop at RIT is registered to me. They're all under my name. So I looked at what they told me it was, and I found out whose machine it was. And it was a student in one of our classes. We have these MBA and EMBA classes. You think these people would be smart enough? And they all get laptops when they we give them a laptop. We give them a laptop. Look at the tuition. We give them a car. We give them a laptop. Sorry. We give them a laptop, and then when they leave the, if they graduate, they get to keep the laptop. Otherwise, I get to use them. This used to be one of those. It belongs to RIT, but I get to use it. So it was this guy, and I tracked him down, and it became a big deal. The kid almost went to jail, almost had to pay a huge amount of money for copyright infringement. I think it was $1 million.
Per instance.
Per instance, there was only one. And he downloaded a crappy movie. I mean, it was a terrible. If you're going to get caught, download a good film, for God's sake. He almost got thrown out of the program, which means he would have been fired from his job because they were paying for it. As it turns out, he simply lost the laptop and a note went into his file. And the deal was, if he kept his nose clean, he had to buy his own laptop now, right? And if he kept his nose clean for the 2 years of the program, before we turned over the file to his employer, we would remove the note. Well, yeah, but the thing is, everybody downloads movies. Everybody does. It's illegal, and you can be sued. And if they catch you, he just got caught. You know, it's like going to the airport. Some people breeze on through. Some people get strip searched. I never get strip searched. but the deal is that it's all random. You know, it's the luck of the draw. He got caught.
So if you or your kids have installed LimeWire, Kazaa, BearShare, Morpheus,
biggest offenders for
anything.
Spyware, by the way.
Yeah,
LimeWire.
That's
yeah,
a
you,
lot of
you're
spyware
probably
stuff.
Lousy with spyware if you downloaded any of those.
And 99.99 whatever percent of the files on those peer-to-peer sharing networks are illegal. They're illegal copies of songs or movies or programs or whatnot. The rest of them are viruses or spyware or Trojans. You download a song, click it, nothing happens. No, you just got infected.
Yep, that was probably something did happen. It infected.
I had
machine.
A woman got a brand new computer for the kids, had it in the family room, only had it up a week and a half. The kids loaded on LimeWire. And all of a sudden, the machine started doing weird things. She turned it on in the morning, and she had two CD-ROM drives. One was a CD, one was a DVD. It all of a sudden spit out the CD-ROM drive, close it. Open up the DVD drive, close it. And then it would just start to slow right on down. Now, this had only been on for a week and a half, kids downloading songs. And it wound up with 400 spyware programs.
Oh, my.
What's your record now, Dave?
Right now it's 12,000.
Yep, 12,000 and one machine. And yeah, it was running a little slow. You think? We put up a brand new machine on the network at RIT, and then we looked at the log.
We only had it up for what, 5 minutes?
Not even. The very first entry in the log, brand new machine, very first entry in the log, somebody trying to break in.
Before the boot success message.
Right, usually the first message is the system booted successfully. The first message was somebody trying to break in, a brand new machine. Well, it was a Linux box. They were trying to break into it with a Windows virus, so I just laughed and we moved on. But the point is, there's not that kind of safety that there used to be. You got to be more careful. I think we're about done here. It's pretty much time to disappear. I've watched Lynn quietly closing up in the back. There is very subtle. Thank you. Yes?
Downloading movies. How does that compare with, say, a VCR recording on a TV set?
Better than VCR, probably not as good as a DVD.
I don't mean quality.
Oh.
I mean,
well, legality. It's a whole lot less legal. The movie industry would have us believe that every time a new technology comes along that lets you view things in a way they don't think you should, that it's the end of civilization as we know it. Yeah. Rain, fire, dogs and cats
Before
living together, it's all going to be bad.
Leave, we should thank Frontier for putting this on.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless you and every one of you.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you guys for everything you do for users.
Thank you all.
There were,
but it's still legal.
And going back to the question, there were a lot of lawsuits in the early days when VCRs came out, and they almost didn't make it out because copying a TV show is illegal. But the industry has decided and allowed the technology to progress, allow you to make a private copy for your own personal use in your own home. Passing out copies is illegal. They finally defined, just a couple of months ago now, what public performance is. 10. So if you have 11 people in your house to watch a movie, that's illegal. Because that's a public performance.
The same thing true, by the way, if you rent a DVD and have 10 people over.
For a minute, read that FBI and Interpol warnings that go along. Then everyone just skips past.
Dave's father's like one of 19 kids.
Yep.
If this technology had been around, they'd have had to get two copies.
Shifts.
21 with the two parents, they had to get three copies. One person sitting alone all by himself.
Oh, thank you all for coming.
My grandma.
Tune in Sunday.
Thank you.